Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 103, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of June 30th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone, and happy birthday to my little sister.
Indeed, and happy belated birthday to you, whose birthday was last week.
And that was also Tita Gil's birthday.
Nice. That's, I did not know that.
Yeah, I knew that. When I was like, oh my god, I love Bleach so much now. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I don't love Bleach anymore.
You fair weather fan, you.
So just because I share my birthday with one of the most popular mangakas at the time, still popular though, it doesn't really constitute the fact that if I actually recognize that his writing actually is not doing so well, then I can pretty much retract the fact that I don't like the fact I share my birthday with him sometimes. But then again, there's like 365 days in the year. A million people bound to share the same birthday. Especially a million people who share the birthday on Christmas. It's like, Merry Christmas! That's my birthday too. Merry Christmas! Presents for everyone! What about my birthday cake? What birthday cake? You got present, quiet.
Yeah, my little brother's birthday is on the 13th of December, so not quite on Christmas, but still the same month that it's, you know, close to overshadowing, but then again, he gets double the presents in December, but that also means he only gets presents in December.
The question is, was he born on Friday the 13th of December?
I don't think so.
Well, if he is, and then either way, his birthday's going to land on Friday the 13th at some point.
Obviously.
Happy, oh my goodness!
Probably not this year, because we've already had, like, a Friday the 13th. But, I don't know. Actually, let me double check, since I have a calendar on my tablet here. So let's.
I do too. What a coinky dinky.
It's a year, December. So close.
So close. His is on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's a Saturday the 13th, so that's kind of silly.
Oh yeah, it's my mom's birthday is on November 7th, and Kishimoto's is on the 8th.
Oh hey, this is kind of neat. September and December, the days of the month are on the exact same day. So, like, Monday is the in September, the 1st is a Monday, and so it is in December, and the 30th is a Tuesday, and so it is in December. The only difference is that December has 31 days. So that's kind of neat. Let's see what other days do we have that.
Yeah, your birthday's on the 5th of September, right?
That happens in, and that happens in April and July as well, where the 1st is a Tuesday, and the 30th is a Wednesday. That's kind of cool.
Nice.
Yep, and then let's see what else. Let me check. Let's see, 2014. Let's see, 2015. Nope, it's on a Sunday then. 2016, it's on a Tuesday. 2017, it's on a Wednesday. 2018, it is on a freaking Thursday. 2019, Friday the 13th. So we just have to wait five
more years for your. Wait, for who?
My brother's, little brother's birthday.
Oh, okay. But yeah. So June 30th and July 1st. I'm not entirely sure which of those days is considered the half year. The halfway day of the year. I still like to say June 30th in a way. Mm. But then it's probably July 1st. Since June is the 6th month, so July 1st is more like the...
True.
Now you're born July 1st, you're born midway through the year. Good luck.
I'd imagine it's kind of somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, let's go ahead. We have some news to talk about, starting with...
Oh, yes, we
do. Ooh, hey. There's an ad on... there's an ad on Anime News Network that the complete first season DVD set of Silver Spoon is coming out on the 15th of July.
Aniplex! Oh, wait.
Oh, son of a... No! 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 Suddenly... Oh, I am going to know the pain.
I love how I just said that. You're like, wait, what? Oh, no!
Yeah, it's like right as you were saying that, I was looking at it and I was thinking to myself, wait.
I just
Oh
sang. I was
no.
like, I don't know why I just sang. I just felt like singing it because it just sounded funny.
Oh dear. Yeah, I'm gonna be one of those poor fools that has to pay a crap ton of money then.
This is why I can't be best in anime so much anymore.
Where's the? It says it's coming out, but where? It's not on Amazon yet. That's weird. Oh yeah, here's what's
Coming
coming out.
out July 15th.
Yeah,
Hey, that's my older sister's birthday.
but it's not on Amazon. Weird. Oh, but there is another show called Silver Spoons, which was an old sitcom, it looks like. Why can't I find it anywhere? Oh wait,
Well,
one
actually, I'm
second.
not sure that July it says that it really says July 15th or July 2015. I'm quite sure it's supposed to be this month.
I'm pretty, yeah, I they
Yeah,
wouldn't
it
have
should
an ad for it if they were all, oh, it's coming out in 2015. But anyway, let's talk about the Japanese comic rankings for June 16th through the 22nd. In 10th place, we have Hayate the Combat Butler, Volume 41.
Yes! Ninth place makes volume 5.
8th place, All You Need Is Kill, Volume 2.
Seventh place, All You Need Is Kill, Volume 1.
6th place, Hajime no Ippo, Volume 107.
Fifth place, A Silent Voice, Volume 4.
4th place, My Love Story, Volume 6.
One Piece, third place, One Piece, Volume 74.
Oh no, it's dropped to 3rd place. Whatever
It's
shall we
okay.
do?
It
2nd
still sold
place.
like 2 million copies, more than everyone estimated.
Yeah. 2nd place, Tokyo Ghoul, Volume 12.
And first place, The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 9. Just beating One Piece in weekly copies by about 40,000 copies.
Yeah, and yet that's. It only sold 180,357 in its first week. One Piece was well over 1 million by that point.
Yep.
Yeah, that's silly. Okay, let's see. I'm looking at. Okay, so I'm looking at the Aniplex website, and they have the DVD. They have the sale. It's like $59.98 for the first season, but keep in mind that's only like 12 episodes.
Ah.
But it's not on. I'm gonna bookmark this. It's not on Amazon yet. I kind of want it to be on Amazon because I'm sure it'll be cheaper there. But whatever, I will wait. All right, but let's go ahead and talk about the New York Times manga bestseller list
Yes.
for June 15th through the 21st. In 10th place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 10.
Ninth place with Attack on Titan Volume 3.
Right, and in 8th place, we have Say I Love You Volume 2.
Seventh place, number 6, Volume 7.
6th place, Kamisama Kiss, Volume 15.
Fifth place, Attack on Titan Volume 2.
4th place, One Piece, Volume 71.
Third place, Fairy Tail Volume 39.
2nd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
And first place, Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin Volume 6.
Yay.
Hey, it's Gundam. Who doesn't like giant robots?
I like giant robots.
I like giant robots too. You should really watch Mace XLR if you get a chance.
I should, but. Not doing it yet. Okay,
It's
let's see.
such a good show. I don't know why they canceled it. Freaking Cartoon Network! You guys make no sense.
Yeah, well, all
Seriously,
right. Nope.
Cartoon Network and then they air non-cartoon shows on it. Anyway,
Yeah.
North American anime manga release for the week of June 22nd through 28th.
All right. Let's see. We've got Codebreaker DVD and Blu-ray Complete Series and Complete Series Limited Edition.
DNA Square DVD Complete Collection and TV and OVA.
Dragon Ball Z Season 5 Uncut Blu-ray Set.
Nekomonogatari White Tsubasa Tiger Blu-ray Set Limited Edition.
Ranma
I
1
got it.
Half Blu-ray Set 2 Special Edition and DVD Set 2. Oh, want. Why am I not buying that? Why have I not bought that yet?
Because you need the money.
I have the money. All right, let's see.
Ringing Bell DVD.
Samurai Bride Blu-ray Complete Collection and DVD
Oh,
Complete
yeah.
Collection.
Anime News Network was actually advertising this a while ago, I believe. Samurai Bride. I was like,
That looks silly. Well, well.
oh, okay. Does Samurai Bride. School Days DVD Complete Collection. I've heard so many things about
Do
that.
not buy that.
Don't play the game, period. Actually,
Unless
the
I'm.
game is the reason why people know about it usually. Or the anime too, but yeah.
Yeah, unless, of course, I don't know, unless, of course, you like being trolled at the end, which, okay, fair enough. But still, I'm just thinking, yeah, don't buy that. That is not a good series. Although, I don't know, just thinking about the whole thing does kind of make me laugh. All right, Star Blazers, $21.99, Blu-ray and DVD, 3.
What the heck?
Ha ha ha.
Threesome Addiction, DVD.
It's the porn.
Porn.
All right, manga releases. Crap. Air Gear Volume 31.
Not even, but it's okay. No, it's not. Why did I mean, it's not even porn, but still just as bad as the word.
I dislike it immensely, yes.
Yes, it's so lingering. Anyways, Alice, the 101st, Volume 4.
Yes, sadly. All right, what the heck is going on here? Are You Alice, Volume 5?
No, nobody's Alice here. What the heck? Anyways, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1.
Bloody Cross, Volume 3.
Card Fight, Vanguard, Volume 2.
Coffin of Cerebrum, porn.
Okay, Fruitful Weird. Body, also porn.
The Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat, Volume 2, despite the name, not porn.
Even though it's publishing publishers kind of similar, just not the it just doesn't not by two not by
they
the
don't
same.
Have the Project H association.
Yeah. Hey, Class President, Volume 5.
Also porn.
Also porn.
Judge, Volume 4.
Why do I have to read this? My next Maniacs. Porn.
Ah, crap. Yotai Ka. I don't even know what that's about.
I don't even want to know. Actually, I'll check anyway.
Alright, next one.
Puella Magi Madoka Magica, The Different Story, Volume 2.
Oh dear. Sankareya, Undying Love, Volume 7.
The zombie one. I heard that series is ending, I believe.
Yeah.
Stardust Traffic, Volume 2. Despite the nice title, it's porn.
Possibly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure porn, but we have not confirmed that yet. All right, Sword Art Online, Volume 2, Fairy Dance, Part 1.
Tale of the Waning Moon, Volume 4, porn.
Work for Pleasure, porn.
Wait a sec, wait. Tales of the Waning Moon is published by Yen Press. What the heck?
That's weird.
The heck, Yen, but I think it's probably a typo. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's Yaoi, so I think that might be why.
Yeah,
because even if it's not strictly porn, if it's Yaoi, apparently that's considered adult. Even though the target audience is teenage girls.
Well, women tend to be a lot more vivacious.
Be careful with where you're going with that, boy. You may get yourself in trouble.
Okay. Other releases. Atelier Roll. Rorona, I almost said Roronoa for some reason.
Yeah.
Atelier Rorona plus The Alchemist of Arlen. Okay, so much roar in there. Wait, it's published by Tecmo now? Well, that's something new.
Intriguing.
Blay Blue, Chrono Phantasma. Oh, wow. The game finally got released. I wonder when it's getting released. Wonder Momo. Battle Idol Volume 1. I believe they were trying to get something about that out or something. I remember. And X-Blaze Code. That's, for those that kind of like to know, it's kind of like a weird, off-ish prequel to Blade Blue. I don't know how it fits, but it's kind of... Yeah. Trust me, I'm so confused about that. So. Yeah, so let's move on.
Yes, what other news do we have?
Okay, Jump X Magazine suspended publication in November. It's going to be, it's pretty much the last release is going to be October 10th. It's going to be suspended, not ceasing, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
Some series that ran it, like I think I mentioned Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, what other series were, oh, Shaman King, Zero. By Hiroyuki Takei, it's also published in it. What other series? Terraform Police, the Terraformars spinoff. And I don't recognize what the heck any of these are. The rest of these are. But I'm kind of sorry to hear that for, you know, a mangaka like Hiroyuki Takei and the rest. You know, like, hey, dude, the heck? Like, Katsuhiro Otomo? Why does that sound familiar?
It does sound familiar.
Oh, Yashu. Isn't he the guy that did Akira? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yes, he is.
He's like, hey, what the heck, man?
We're a manga podcast.
We're a manga podcast.
We suck.
So I'm good at this. Playcom magazine ceases publication next month. Okay, this is the one that's ending.
Mm.
Huh. So they're ceasing publication as of, well, starting next month on July 25th.
Huh.
What series were published in this? Let's see, anything I recognize? I don't recognize any of these. All I can say is that I'm sorry for these guys. Terribly sorry.
Yes. Alright,
what else? Oh, hey! Lady Matsumoto Space Captain Pirate Harlock was actually published in this back in 1977 to 1979.
Oh, well, that's a shame that it's gone. Well, I mean, the series was already over, but it's a shame that that's being ended.
Yeah, well, the dude's already old. Okay. Sealed Trey Boys Love Magazine ends publication. Yeah, I don't know. Why are they using French words, man?
Because it is très érotique.
Oh, wait. Is it a magazine or a manga? I can't tell these things. Well, yeah, it's any publication. Terribly sorry for that. Okay.
Yes.
Now let's on to some more. Let's go on to some upbringing news.
Okay.
Kodansha to launch Young Magazine the 3rd in September.
Cool.
So they're launching another magazine publication.
Nice. Cool. Alright.
Cover, there's a schoolgirl holding a baseball bat. I told she doesn't beat anybody over that.
She probably will.
Four Attack on Titan spin-off manga are going to be shipped simultaneously. This is where I say, holy crap, man, you guys, with the Attack on Titan craze. Chill, man.
Yeah, it is kind of depressing seeing manga go the route that, you know, that Western comics have gone.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's just like, oh, hey, let's have all these spin-offs and everything. And I'm like, look, no. The good thing about you was that you focused, you, when you had a series, it was only by the main author, but whatever.
Okay. Of the four, I'm fine with the two of them because they clearly are just for whatever reasons. But with the other two, when they try and add backstory, yes, I know. You guys are probably wondering, why are you getting upset about the one trying to add backstory to the series? That's what I mean. If the writer himself can't even actually provide that backstory himself, something went wrong. This is why I kind of feel iffy about some series like Fairy Tail and Seven Deadly Sins, mostly Kodansha series in general. I haven't seen any Weekly Shonen Jump do that.
No, they don't seem. Yeah, they tried it, but then they made crappy spinoffs. So people said, "Forget you, you guys."
I mean, spinoffs are fine if they don't have to be Kanan, you know? I don't like spinoffs to be Kanan because it kind of feels like Kanan indeed.
Kanan was a country in the Old Testament.
Oh, man. I feel bad now.
Yeah, they were kind of evil, or at least according to the Bible.
Kanan, though. He was one of my favorite characters in Xeno Saga. Anyways. Yeah, so like I said, I don't like series, you know, I don't like official series having, you know, spin-offs that be canon, like, you know, even if it's a prequel or a background thing, it's just, why bother? Even if it's written by someone else, it's, you know, you could just provide it yourself.
It would be a lot of work, and I mean, the point of it is that to try and trick people that enjoy the original series to buy this stuff as well, because even though it's being written by people that were hired to write a spin-off manga, so chances of it actually being good are not necessarily all that great. I mean, granted, you can get people that are you do get people that are talented and that do work for hire kind of stuff like this, but at the same time, if you're looking for something that's interesting, because it was, you know, it's by an author with their own original vision, and not because it's something that's being written by someone because the publisher mandated it, then you're not going to want to read these. But then again, I haven't read any of the other Attack on Titan spin-off series. I've heard that they're pretty decent. Oh.
I've not read the Classroom School one though.
Oh, I did read the Before the Fall one, and that one was kind of boring.
That one was just weird. I'm like,
nothing
why?
Nothing happened. There was no point in reading that, but
it's based off a light novel, I think.
Fun. All right. Well, anyway. Speaking of spin-offs, what else do we have?
Oh yes, Fairy Tail is getting 2 spin-offs.
Oh, dude, that's so cool. Fairy Tail finally gets some spin-offs.
Including a shoujo one.
Yes, I just want to point out that my statement there was to showcase the irony of me being, of me saying, oh, great, look, we have a spin-off of a series that I like, versus, oh, no, there's a spin-off of a series I like, but don't like as much. I don't know. Actually, I'm confused. I've confused myself right now.
You definitely confused yourself. So basically, what I think you're trying to say is there's a spin-off. There's 4 spin-offs of a series you really like, and then there's a spin-off of a series that you don't really like as much, but you seem to be excited to spin-off for some reason.
No, it's more the, you know, it's more the irony / hypocrisy of someone saying, oh, man, these stupid spin-offs, but then when it's something you really care about, then suddenly it's like, then you're excited, but nonetheless. Carry on, what are these about?
So, okay, the Fairy Girl story will focus on the 2 strongest girls in the world. I'm assuming Lucy and Urza? I mean, they're kind of the main character, the main female.
That is kind of weird where it says the strongest. I'm like, shouldn't this be about Urza and Mira Jane?
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Why did I even... Well,
I don't know. If it's Lucy, it wouldn't make any sense. She's not the strongest. She's the main character, but she's not the strongest.
Yeah, you're right. I messed up there. I'm not even a fairy tale maniac anyway. I just like reading the series. And the other one is called Fairy Tale Blue Mistral, starring Wendy as her 12-year-old magical girl who will face the secrets of the Dragon Valley.
Oh, no.
And Weekly Show and the magazine also hints that Wendy may find love in this episode 0 story. I'm like, what? Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it's a spin-off. It's not going to last long. But then all of a sudden, Mashima comes in and goes, oh, look, Wendy's parents. Like, but the fans just go crazy.
Would be interesting, and it's like, oh, maybe she'll find love, and I'm like, please no, she's only 12, stop it.
Anyway,
I don't know, it doesn't seem like the kind of manga that fans of the original manga would be interested in. It's like, one, it's a shoujo, and Fairy Tail is pretty hardcore, unapologetic shonen, so, I don't know, maybe they're trying to get appeal to a broader audience with this, but at the same time, you're just, that's totally gonna get girls that would read this manga to read Fairy Tail itself, and they'd get like one chapter, and then suddenly they're like, why is Lucy completely naked and tied up to her bed and being tickled with feathers?
What?
By the villain? What's going on here? Oh, you know what's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
But nonetheless, anyway, moving on, what else do we have?
Okay, another 7 Deadly Sins get the school comedy manga spin-off.
Okay, what the hell?
Series reimagines the sins as high school students. I think I read this recently somewhere.
I have not, but this is like that Gurren Lagann comedy high school manga. What the hell? Seriously, are they...
Let's see what Gurren Lagann works because the series is set in such a world where I think it kind of helps, you know, like with Neon Genesis Evangelion. But this one, it's still going. What the heck, man?
But this doesn't make any sense. I mean, is the publishing industry in Japan that creatively bankrupt that they can't think of anything else for a comedy series? They're just like, oh, hey, let's put them in a different setting than what they normally are at. What should we do? Oh, I don't know. Let's do high school again. It's like, seriously?
Let's do high school. Let's do something else different.
Maybe this
kicks
really
them out the window.
Yeah, maybe this really is funny, but you people are morons. I mean, seriously. Yeah. High school comedy. Oh. This is stupid.
I've read millions of these. I know how it's gonna go. It's just risk fulfillment.
Yeah, all right, what else do we have?
Okay, now this one is more interesting. Shonen Jump to launch 4 manga series in the next 3 issues. Oh, and this is, I'm sure it's supposed to come up very soon, but I because thanks to the news, it also announces that in the first issue of Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump magazine, Hunter x Hunter should go on hiatus in the 32nd issue, but return on the 33rd issue on July 14th.
Wait, what? So it's
I
just
knew it's
skipping,
on hiatus. I knew it. I knew it.
it's
I
just
knew it.
skipping 1 week. Or
I
when they
know.
said it's returning in the 33rd issue, it means the 33rd issue of 2015. It's like, dang it.
It's like, wait a second. Yeah, it's like, yeah, but you know, I mean, my views on Hunter x Hunter change very quickly, so I'm actually okay with this. Because
Yes.
I understand now.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Oh.
if he has a good reason, but I mean, it's not like he's going away for a very long time,
Plus,
so.
he is known for Yu Yu Hakusho and whatever it pushed for Yu Yu Hakusho generally and other series that didn't last as long, but still. Plus, he's old. I'm giving the guy a break. My dad's old. Doesn't make sense. He keeps bugging me all the time, though. Anyways, guess who's returning? Kohei Horikoshi will start the Boku no Hero Academia. And he was known for publishing the Barrage manga.
Oh, nice.
Yes. He's like, I'm doing this again, guys.
All right.
Screw
Okay, please tell me that. Oh, yeah. Please, please, please tell me that Kaito is coming back.
No, this
Mo.
is at all. I'm sorry.
Shueisha, you bastards, bring him back. He needs a new manga. All
Okay,
right, fair enough. What
serious.
else do we have?
Shuhei Miyazaki will launch a 3-chapter chemical reaction gag manga, Soreke Yugo-kun.
Ugh.
I don't know what that is. Ryo Ishiyama will start the Mitsukubi Condor manga.
Condor, what?
Condor, I don't know what that's name. Finally, Yusaku. So much wine names. Okay. Shibata will launch a Yoakemono manga. Oh, and the relatively new manga Soul Catchers. Oh, good. They actually finally got rid of that weird parentheses S thing. I hate that. I can't
Yeah.
understand why they do that. We'll move from the main Weekly Shonen Jump magazine to Jump Next. So is that ending? Because I'm no, it's not ending. Sorry, it's a joke on Neuro, how you know Neuro going and then all of a sudden like, oh, we're just gonna end it in the next chapter, in the last chapter in another magazine. Like, why did you even do that? Why?
Yeah, well, all right, what other news do we have?
Oh, okay. As we all know, World Trigger anime is going to be coming out, but what we didn't know, it's going to be premiering this October.
Yay! That'll
We'll see
be
how the
interesting.
anime holds up, to be honest. Because
Well, I'm
I'll
looking
be
forward to
honest.
it.
Well, yeah, the anime should probably turn a lot better than the manga, and then I should probably have people like, why don't you like my manga, but now they like the anime more. It's like Attack on Titan all over again, but for us, maybe, maybe.
Yes. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. Maybe an anime will fix some of the early flaws, and then we'll see where that goes from there.
I'm gonna laugh at some reviews saying this series is pretty slow. What the heck's going on? And, oh, now it's actually building.
Yeah. Well,
Yes, you gave other series a chance, you know?
Yep. And okay, we got one more anime announcement here.
An awesome Assassination Classroom. I mean, Assassination Classroom manga gets a TV anime. Yes, an actual anime this time, and a live action film. The anime is going to come out in 2015, and after being inspired by the 2013 event anime.
Yes, that
See,
is.
live action is going to be the weird one, though.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting. We're getting Assassination Classroom, we're getting World Trigger, we're getting the Seven Deadly Sins anime, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm gonna try to see what I can do to get my other podcast hosts for the Aninoob podcast. If you haven't listened to that yet, y'all should. It's really fun. I'm gonna see what I can do to get them to start watching those shows as they come out. Because we haven't watched much shonen action, so I'm interested to see if I can get them into the get them into watching one either of those. But All right then. Let's see. Summer anime 2014. Okay, let's see.
Adding Assassination Classroom, Seven Deadly Sins, and World Trigger. I'm gonna check those three. How, sure, when they come out. And actually trying to stay on top of them for once.
Yes.
I'm,
too.
like I said, it's really hard to stick to anime for me because it's like, I don't want to wait about 2 weeks because it's Crunchyroll usually, you know?
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, we'll see what happens. Let's see. TV fall. Let's see. Let's see. Fall. Yeah, we don't have the to be announced. Oh yeah, I was just looking at some of the lists. Yeah, this. Yeah, for as
Oh,
far
by the
as.
way, Nagisa's voice actor is apparently a female, so have fun with that, guys.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it is a he is a young boy. Young boys usually, you know, they are usually voice acted by women.
Can't remember how I sound like when I was a kid, but I don't.
I mean, do you honestly think that I could voice a young boy's voice? Obviously not. I am far too masculine.
Ooh, Yui Horii is gonna voice
Yeah.
Irina Jelavic, you know.
Ooh, well,
What about
who else
then?
has she voiced?
I don't know, but her name sound familiar to me now, because there's this one anime I want to watch called Rail Wars that's gonna be coming out this July 7th.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of
Train.
Summer releases, and none of them look all that interesting. I mean, you've got like the some second season. You've got like another Persona 4 anime based on the Golden, you know, that fighting game.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that they milked Persona 4 so much. I mean, I did like it, but I was like, holy crap, man. They milked Persona 3 so much. I would have been pretty upset,
Yeah.
too. But holy crap, Atlas. I get it. I get
Yeah,
it.
looking at a couple of these other ones, I'm sort of seeing maybe a couple that I might be interested in looking at. Like, there's one that all I see is this. Was it Ald Noah Zero? Has a giant robot. So I'm like, okay, I'm down.
Oh my
And
goodness, Yui Horii voice Hitomi in Dead or Alive series.
oh, is that who that is? Oh, they have a second season for Space Dandy, and I'm like, I haven't even watched the first one. I really should. Oh,
Neither am
look.
I.
They've got the new Sailor Moon is coming out on the 5th of July.
Oh! Shh, gotta get on that.
Yes. Yeah, but, and then let's see what else. Let's see, for fall, we've got, let's see, what do we, yeah, we don't have a winter announced yet. But anyway, do we have any other news that needs to be discussed, or are we done here?
No, not nothing else.
All right, in that case, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment. It's time for the manga review section of the week, and this week we're going over Attack on Titans Volume 3 and Volume 4. Yay. So, Attack on Titan. We went over the first two volumes yesterday, and now we have the next
Yesterday?
couple. Last week is what I meant.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, so. Yeah, I have to say, we. Yeah, I do have to say we do have quite a, let's see, start off with a, let's see, Volume 3 starts off with a side story for Captain, let's see, Captain Levi showing how, you know, he's really good at killing Titans. Then
Yes, he is.
we go back to the main story, and we see how Eren turned, you know, what happened that turned him into a Titan, how he survived. And then he wakes then he wakes up, and all the humans are like, yeah, we saw you turn into a Titan, we're gonna kill you now. So they have to convince him, please don't kill us.
It didn't help that when he was saying, I will kill them all, I'm like, bad idea. You just said it. They're like, oh my god, did you hear that? He's gonna kill us all. I'm like, no, not you guys. I meant the Titans. Man, you're dead now.
Yeah.
We have proof. I have a tape recorder. But you still have those things. Oh no.
Yeah, it is quite silly, but yeah, I'm also reminded of the Attack on Titan Abridged, where they end up singing to save their lives. It's funny. And this one, it just, yeah, Armin says, "Hey, you know what? We can totally, you know, you can totally use his power to, you know, block the hole in the wall." And then Dot Pixis, the commander of the of the guards, comes in, and he's all like, "Hey, that sounds interesting. They And then they make a plan, and they're going to go ahead and use Eren's Titan form to block the wall, except, slight problem, it doesn't work. Because Eren is completely not in control, and he tries to... And he tries to kill Mikasa, and they have to try to get to him, but it turns out he's stuck in some kind of fantasy world. And apparently my cat was hiding under my bed because I just saw him crawling out from it.
Well, I thought you chased your. I thought you had your cat escorted out.
I didn't. He was under the bed. But anyway, yeah. So that's the gist of the volume. Also worth pointing out that in all the volumes they have some really great previews for the next volumes, and they're all absolutely ridiculous because they're fake. They have fake previews at the end of the volumes, and that's pretty hilarious. So, yeah, but yeah, that's the basic gist of this volume. So, yeah, what do we think?
It was pretty good because it kind of, you know, how for most people, like I said, at the end of volume two, wait, Eren is alive. How did he come back alive? And then the very first chapter of volume three is like, oh, that explains it. That's good. You know, instead of going, oh, and moves on, and they don't explain how he came back alive until like later on, like, oh, I didn't. The good news that Isayama's like, okay, they want to know how he came back alive. Well, here you go, the explanation.
Yeah.
I like how it's titled, Where's the Left Arm? What about Where's the Right Leg?
Yeah, it's like,
what about the leg?
F the leg.
Like, oh, screw the leg. Well, I lose my leg, I can still kick butt. That's right, Han, you tell him.
I can just imagine.
He's kind of shins in the gaps. So yeah. I kick their butts anyway.
Yeah.
Any men.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how he's basically reverse Edward Elric with how he loses his left arm and his right leg instead of his right arm and his left leg.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I can just imagine Edward finding out about how he just instantly grew his arm back and he's like, you son of a bitch.
Tell me your secret now. Well, it's on alchemy.
Oh, crap. Oh well.
I learned the wrong thing the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think you can learn how to turn into a Titan.
No, you can't.
So, little kitty. Yeah, but yeah, I think this volume overall, I mean, this one was a little bit on the slower side. It kind of focuses a lot on the just sort of on the trying to convince the other humans and the plan of their plan, and then, well, of what they could do, and then the planning phase, which took a little bit of time, but you know, so I don't know, not my favorite volume, but it certainly is interesting. I think the thing about this volume is that it takes the story in a different direction than you first expect when you start reading it, you know? Where it sort of shows how Eren became a Titan and all that. And, you know, it kind of, yeah, you start off the series expecting, oh, it's going to be humans fighting these monsters that they can't fight, but then you turn out that it's basically basically turning into a bit of a mecha show, where instead of mechas, it's biological giants that they control.
Well, you know, if you can't be them, you have to become them to kick them.
Yes, but that's, you know, it didn't have to go that direction, so it's a bit interesting. I know, I'm almost thinking it would have been a little more interesting if they had have stuck with, if they hadn't have had anyone that turns into Titans, you know, just because because it does take the series in a completely different direction. So, but yeah, other than that.
Was it possible that these Titans weren't actually just Titans, too?
Well, we'll find out a little more later on in the series, but yeah. For now, yeah. It's a cat hair in my mouth. Yeah, for now, yeah, I'd say Volume 3, I don't really have all that much to say. I mean, it's certainly interesting, but it's kind of Volume 3 is the one where you have to adjust your brain to the different direction that the story's taking. So,
well, it still does give a lot of content, like, some content, like, about how, like, the Titan can actually, like, regenerate or something. Right?
Yeah, it does, and it does kind of explain that. Well, I mean, it is kind of like, you know, we need to use the swords because, you know, otherwise there's no way to kill them. with, you know, using guns, because, you know, that they regenerate too fast, so.
Mm.
Although I still think that, yeah. Although it is kind of fun how they're all, oh, yeah, we need to use our swords to fight them because cannons won't kill them. Unless, of course, we get them all in one bunch and then just start blasting them with all of the cannons. And eventually we'll destroy the parts of their brains. That
cannon barrage.
Yeah, so that was kind of amusing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so overall, I mean, it was a decent volume, but not my favorite, I'd have to say.
Yeah, third volume, was it three? Three, I almost said 13.
Yeah, third. Yeah, 13 isn't even out yet. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the most recent one was 12 in the U.S.
In Japan? Oh, I thought.
No, in the U.S.
In the U.S.
All right, well, let's talk about volume 4, shall we? Which is...
After 14 through 18?
Yeah. And it's,
there we go.
Yeah, the first little bit is them sort of, you know, the first couple chapters are them. Well, actually, I think it's only one chapter. Let me double check that, actually.
Yeah. The first chapter is just them trying to seal that hole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's continuing the rest of what happened, what started in mm-hmm. volume 3. And... Casualty.
Yeah. Sorry about the little interruption there, folks. It would appear that, for some reason, my mic started beeping at us. It was quite bizarre. But, all right, let's keep moving. All right, so, as we were saying, we're talking about Volume 4 of Attack on Titan now. And this is where we get into the, into a flashback, per se, where we get to see the training and everything. And everyone, you know, you actually get to know a couple of the people that died.
Except the one, you said you don't know about, generally the ones who are on Eren's squad.
Yeah, them we don't really get to know about. What we do meet them beforehand. But I don't know, yeah, it does seem a little weird that there wouldn't have been more time spent getting to know those people just to be like, oh, look at how nice they were, but now they're dead.
It could have been nice, because then, you know, Isayama could be like, maybe I can actually let some of them survive. And not let
yeah,
them.
Right. The first thing that he does after introducing a bunch of them is kill Marco off, and it's pretty freaking gruesome. Because half his face is missing, half his upper torso is missing.
And lost half his body.
Yeah, well, not half his body because he still has both his legs, but yeah. And of course, we find out that the Titans don't have digestive tracts. They just, you know, they eat people and then they barf them up.
See, at least carnivores are nice about eating their food.
And actually eating it.
And actually eating their food.
Yeah, it's a bunch of... Oh, man.
Titans are like horrific babies that just play with their food and then eat them.
They're like all bulimic supermodels or something.
Ew! That's a good description right there.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, Kronos is like, you're getting fat. It's like, oh really? Blah.
Kronos. Was it Kronos or who was it?
Kronos was the one that.
Yeah, he ate his kids. Because he's like, oh no, one of my kids is gonna overthrow me, and all of a sudden he's like, ah, that's me.
Yep. Indeed, and yeah, so we end up. Yeah, and then, of course, you've got Jean, who's like, you know what, I'm going to enter the Survey Corps because I had a character growth in 1 second.
Total respect for that guy, to be honest.
Yeah, I do like him a lot, but...
But he's like, dude, because it's like, if I join the military, all I can think about is who else I know is going to die then. I don't want to know about this. I just rather just go in there and make sure it doesn't happen in first place.
Yeah. That's what I kind of like is, I don't know, it's kind of funny because I first watched... like one of the abridged series that are out there for Attack on Titan. And so Jean was played as the typical jerk bag.
No, just
because he's, you know, he was paid kind of like a, whatchamacall them.
He's painted like a guy who just wants to, you know, live the good life and not do all that really horrible stuff.
Yeah, he was played kind of like a yuppie snob, basically.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
But in the manga itself, he's actually pretty reasonable at first. It's like, you know, when they're first introduced, well, I don't know, he was a bit of a jerk for parts, but then again, So were like, so was Connie.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And so, yeah. But yeah, you also, but still, you have kind of, it's like, I mean, he does do the whole, is like, oh, hey, yeah, he, acts like all, is like, oh, yeah, you know what? He's like, oh, it's like you. He's like, I'm nothing if not honest. Better than a guy who's shaking his boots but pretends to be brave. And he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to rile you up. Just honesty. But yeah, and then afterwards they actually, apologize to each other. He's like, sorry, I didn't want to, throw cold water on your plans. How you choose to live, how you choose to live is your own business. And he's like, oh yeah, I had a chip on my shoulder too. And he's like, let's call it a truce. He's like, okay. And then of course, he Jean instantly falls in love with Mikasa and is pissed at Eren from that on. So it's kind of like, okay, that's kind of interesting how he how he is kind of portrayed as a little bit of a jerk at times, but not as a completely unreasonable jerk. So there's actually a moment where that actually gives you a good reason for having him dislike Eren. But yeah, and then of course, after that, and he really does get really good character development. I mean, it's kind of weird having him, the majority of his character development be before we see what he was actually like before, which is why I have to say that not waiting until Volume 4 to show the training is a bit of a weakness as far as the character development and all that goes.
So you mean the training coming late instead of early?
Yeah, exactly. So that's a bit of a problem, but yeah,
Oh, and
other
then
than
having about like two time shifts would kind of be a bit much, don't you agree?
well,
Because think about it.
not really. I mean, they still
It
have
goes
two.
from 8:45 when it started, and eight. Wait, was eight? Wait, what year did the series start in?
I don't think it really matters. It starts when they're kids, it goes to when they're teenagers, and then it jumps back to when they were slightly younger teenagers.
Yeah, that's
So
confusing, man.
yeah, so it would, I don't know, it would have made more sense to just have them go straight through, but I guess it is a certain storytelling technique. I just can't figure out what the advantage of doing it like this is, I think, well, okay, here's the reason why I think that he did it, is that by having the big major attack of the Titans happen within the first two volumes. No, the first three volumes, actually. I have that all be dealt with then. What he does is he shows off his, Isayama shows off his storytelling and sort of shows off what the story is all about. You see the big act, you see
True.
the big action and everything. But at the same time, it is a bit of a gamble because, on the one hand, doing this allows him to show off, allows him to get people more interested rather than spending time on character development and all that. It sort of allows people
That's
to, it allows people to get into the story
maybe that's
quickly.
kind of why some series end up, skipping the character development as much and trying to get the
Yeah.
story. Like a certain series we've been harping on a lot.
Yeah, and I think, and part of the danger of that is that by skipping the character development, you're skipping everything that makes us interested in a series. But in this case, he actually manages to, he's lucky because he's a good enough storyteller that the first three volumes are interesting even without knowing the characters very well. He manages to bank on the fact that his premise is really, really interesting by focusing on, and giving us characters that aren't that, not developing the characters that much beyond basic archetypes. And then we end up with, and then we end up going back and actually getting to know the characters. So it works, sort of. I can see why he did it, but at the same time, it's kind of hard to really feel bad about certain characters unless we actually know them. We don't really feel, though. I don't know. It is kind of curious. The case with Jean is that, I mean, since the crucial moment happen for him happens after the flashback to their training, the parts with him before didn't really. Well, those weren't really all that. Didn't really seem all that important.
Which one?
overall Jean, you know, with his moments where he's like, you know, deciding to become, you know, more of a leader. But at the same time, I don't know. At the same time, it really doesn't help that we don't know where he started from. Let me double check one thing. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I was double checking volume one. Mo.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I was double checking volume one, and I just reminded myself that there was a scene where they where they show the graduation right before the attack, and mm-hmm. so you do see that Jean and Aaron are antagonistic, so you do get a bit of what he is like, but it's kind of disjointed, and it is kind of interesting, because he basically, in the first volume, gives us the basics of the characters, and then kind of goes from there, and then we go back and get more, so I think it works, but at the same time, it feels like a more linear story would have made more sense, and I mean, it's kind of hard not to feel like that would make more sense, since that's kind of how the told the story in the anime. So yeah, I might have to get my friend to watch the anime and see, or watch the first part of the anime and see if I can get him to read this and see what he says about, you know, the comparative storytelling structure. But yeah, other than that, I think that is, let's see, yeah, that's all I really have to say about Volume 4. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I gotta admit, Volume 4, Chapter 18 is the one that got me most interested, because, you know, after going through that little, you know, the background on the training arc, we go to the present, and we get to see what happened to other characters. You say what happened to Marco, and then, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And there was the part of Annie where she said that, "I'm sorry," and for most people, they go, "Wait, what is she sorry about?"
Yeah, well, we'll get into that later as the series progresses.
Yeah.
Of course, but
it's kind of interesting, because when you go through that chapter, you're trying, you, like, for those, for someone like me, I was just trying to figure out what happened to the ones who, you know, got eaten, or partially eaten. I mean, we know what happened to Mark, what happened to some of Aaron's band. I know one of them possibly got their head bit off, and so the body should be lying around somewhere, and think that body might actually be on that page somewhere, but then again, one of Annie's friends, at least, I think was supposedly on Aaron's squad at that time when they went to go fight the Titans for the first time. Their first battle, and they lost on casualties. Jeez. Sucks. It sucks. I mean, it's different when you've been a soldier for so long, but then when you're, like, just starting out, you're like, okay, I'm going to go, boom, Ethan. Well, that was quite a short-lived life.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to go kill the great mighty lions aboard Ethan. Well, wasn't a lion. He got eaten by a leopard or a jaguar or whatever it was.
I mean, that is kind of the point of the series, is that, oh, look at how tragic everything is. Everyone is dying, and so on.
Yeah, that's almost what turned me off, but I was like, you know what, I only wanted to read because I saw Aaron was like, I want to kill them. I'm like, yeah, I want to see you kill them all too, man.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That's exactly why.
Yeah, this is one of those series that's interesting. I mean, I got into it because I started watching the anime when it first came out, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. But then at the same time, since I didn't really know much about it, I watched the first two episodes, and then afterwards I was like, I'm not going to watch the rest of this. This is a little dark for me. But then I learned more about it, and I decided, you know what, this actually looks really interesting, so I'm going to watch it. And then I watched it, and then I read the chapters that came after it, and then I went back and I reread the volumes, and now I've decided, you know what, we need to review this. And
he's more of an expert on this than I am, or anyone I know.
I've taken the time to read this series, but yeah, I wouldn't call it my favorite series, but I certainly like it enough that it was worth buying the volumes and actually owning them all, especially since there are only 12 volumes so far. I mean, seriously, that's compared to the other manga series that I'm trying to get invested in, not as much of an investment.
For me, it's the premise of the idea of, you know, humanity fighting something that they possibly can't beat, but may have a chance of beating, rather than something like, just zombies. I mean, seriously, the zombies get annoying. That's why Titans was a huge relief for once. It was like, hey, look, it's something that isn't zombies. They're not killing zombies for once. Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. There's a killing zombies sometimes. It gets on my nerves. But that's an oversight since I played Left 4 Dead 2. And I like shooting things. I like shooting inhuman, non-human things. Not animals, but, you know, things I was trying to kill me.
Well, yeah.
That's my justification for playing those kind of games.
Yes. Yeah. It is certainly interesting, and we'll definitely get into more of, you know, what the hey about the series and all that. But yeah, for now, I think that about covers. That about covers the everything. At least I don't have anything else to say to you.
Wait, isn't chapter 18 the chapter where Levi appears, right?
Levi.
Good job.
Even the anime pronounces it right. So, chapter 18. Let's see. He appears in... Let's see, where was he? So I'm just looking it up right now.
Appears like near the end.
Well, not quite. He appears right at the end when they, when they plug up the wall.
Huh. Good job. Like, why didn't you help? They all have to kill Titan. What are you doing?
Yeah. But yeah, so overall, yeah, it's a good series so far. I definitely like it. It's definitely interesting. And so, yeah. All right. Do you have anything else you wanted to add?
I can't think of anything other than the whole, you know, the corpses and trying to identify them and such.
Right. Well, all right. In that case, let's move on to the next segment. It's time for the chapter commentaries for this week, for the week of June 30th.
I almost thought you forgot.
Yes. Starting with Toriko, chapter 282, Four Paths. And this one is one of those ones that starts off kind of weird because you start off, you know, jumped ahead and then you jump back to explain what's going on. So those are always... Those chapters are always the kind where, for the first page, I'm like, wait, what's going on? And then in the second one, I'm like, oh, right, yeah, they're...
Yeah, I usually go, wait, did I just miss something? But then I'm looking, I'm like, hey, look, Bronze and Zebra teamed up. I had a feeling they would.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty obvious, yeah. But, yeah, so this chapter is basically everyone splitting up, and they're going to go get air, but they have different places that they have to get through. And it's these rain zones, all these different kinds of rain. So you got like asteroid rain or laser rain, which I'm just like...
That's probably the best thing ever, like laser rain.
It's pretty awesome. You also find that... And then, of course, Coco goes... It gets to go to the place where it's poison rain. And Coco's like, score.
Deadly poison rain.
Yep. And then we don't know what type of rain Toriko and Komatsu go to because they go with the frog, Mappy.
Mappy.
Yep. And they're going to where the king of the area goes, where one of the eight kings. Yes. Nightmare Heracles, yes. And it's just amazing how they manage to make a bunch of different kind of horse creatures seem so terrifying.
Horse creatures seem so terrifying. They are.
Yeah.
They can trample you. They can break your bones.
Especially horses that big. You've got one that looks like it's made out of earth. You've got one in the background that looks like it has six legs, which makes it remind me a little bit of Sleipnir, the Odin's horse. Mm-hmm. You've also got one. Let's see. You've got one that just looks like it has a really funky mane. One that looks like a giant giraffe. One that... The face doesn't, it looks more like a bird. And then, of course, oh, hey, look, you've got Chrysalis in the background and Queen Celestia in the foreground. See, everything's going to be turned out all right. I don't know. I'm pretty
Friendship
sure.
Friendship is not going to be magical here.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Celestia's there. Toriko and Komatsu will be just fine. Then it turns out that it's not Celestia, it's Molestia. And it's like, oh no, run, you fools!
What is that giant? Oh yeah, the giant one's the one made of earth, right?
That's the one that looks like it's made of earth. It's got like moss and junk coming off of it. Yeah, and it kind of just goes to show how much bigger these things actually really are, because Toriko and Komatsu aren't even in the proper size comparison, because they're in the foreground. So they're bigger than they would be if they were right next to them.
Shadow of the Colossus Horses.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm not going to say Attack on Titan. I know everybody's going to say that, but Shadow of the Colossus Horses.
Because yeah, that is kind of what
I'm imagining
says.
More of the whole climbing up on and stuff.
Yeah.
Stab it. It almost thought one of them was sparkling, but it's just scars.
Yeah.
Dang.
It does kind of turn, yeah, and some map he basically says, hey, look, we're going for the King of Foods, so we need it makes sense that we ask the continent's king first, and then, yeah, it turns out that, you know, they're there to offer a sacrifice, and at first I was like, oh, dude, is Mappy gonna sacrifice Toriko and Komatsu? That would be kind of a neat twist, but then it turns out, no, Mappy is there to be the sacrifice, so...
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that he'd turn out to be evil, but no way.
Like, dang, he's not evil. He just needs a sacrifice.
No. He's and actually
somewhere,
very
he
noble.
Has to, like, use sacrifice to the gods. They're sacrificing to horses. Horse gods!
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a good chapter. I mean, it's another one of those Shimabukuro showing off how creative he can be. And of course, the laser rain is just ridiculous. And then, of course, seeing just the two-page spread of the horse creatures is really awesome. Just showing off exact... I mean, it's horses. Normally, you don't think of horses as being very dangerous. But here, they just... Even though they're just grazing and everything, the way they're drawn just makes them come off as absolutely terrifying. And it's especially based off of Toriko and Komatsu's reactions. Which, where Komatsu is just completely losing it, but Toriko is just like, yeah, he's nervous. So, yep, it was quite good. Oh, yeah, and also we got some entries into the Toriko call for ingredients, which one of which is the Doom Nacho, which is basically a giant mountain that's a nacho. It eats stuff, and it regurgitates food to create a special sauce that turns into a river.
It's Nacho Mountain. Get it? No, of course you don't get it. Of course you get it. That just sounds really stupid.
Of course I get it.
I had to say it.
I really like the Rubik's fruit, because it's basically a fruit that you have to solve like a Rubik's cube, and said if you eat the rare solved Rubik's fruit, you will be granted great fortune, which... personally, I wouldn't be all, oh, hey, look, doing that gives you great fortune. What I'd be more inclined to do is, you know, just say, you know what, it only tastes good if you solve it. There you go. You don't have to get more complicated than that. And so, like, if it's unsolved, it tastes absolutely awful. But if you solve it, it tastes good.
If it's unsolved, it'll taste worse than boogers.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, way worse than boogers. I'm sorry, guys. But I can't even think it tastes worse than that.
I can think of a couple of things, but anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Let's see, and the other one, the tooth lizard, which is basically just a lizard that's a toothbrush. So, that's fun. All right, let's see. Bleach, chapter, there we go, 586, the Headless Star 5. And, yeah, it's basically the Soul Reapers fighting the Sternritter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Ichigo, who goes to stop Iwatch. But then it turns out that he discovers Uryu is there, and he's like, hey, what are you doing there? And the readers are kind of sitting there saying, yeah, what are you doing there? Would have been nice if this entire arc hadn't have been just a bunch of random, pointless fights, and you had have actually focused on, oh, you know, one of the main characters deciding to join the bad guys. That may have needed a little bit of development, don't you think? And then, of course, yeah, Uryu tries to murder Ichigo, but then Ichigo is saved by Orihime, which, that's kind of a nice twist. Usually it's him coming in to save her, now it's her coming in to save him. And, yeah,
Only two panels.
Yeah, except her and Chad just kind of come out of nowhere. I'm like, okay then. But yeah, and then Uryu and Iwatch and the other dude, Hushvolt? I think that's it.
Yeah, Hushvolt.
Yeah, they end up disappearing into the... King's realm. I mean, it was pretty obvious that this was going to happen, but just seeing the attempt at drama with the main characters really makes me realize how much this arc has been wasting time. You know, some of the fights have been good and fun and all that, but it's against a bunch of characters that ultimately don't matter. If the main drama is meant to be between Ichigo and his friends, then why didn't you have them involved in the arc? You know, why didn't we get to see more of what the heck Uriel was up to, what he was thinking? We didn't need that much more. We just needed kind of a moment where he, you know, where he comes in and makes his decision rather than just showing up there with no explanation. I don't know.
Wait, isn't Kubas doing the whole show instead of telling thing?
A little bit, but he needed to show us some scenes about what the hell's going on.
He didn't do enough show, okay.
Yeah, it just really is, you know, this whole arc feels like we didn't need all those fights. I mean, sure, it's a series about fights, but at the same time, we really didn't need all those fights against all those enemies, because ultimately those enemies are unimportant, and those fights involved people that aren't going to be involved in the final conflict. With say, for example, with the Wekomundo arc, or the Soul Society arc, they involved the main characters going up against enemies as they were trying to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. They had a goal in mind. They had go save Rukia or go save Orihime. While here, it just doesn't work as well because the fights are all by characters that ultimately won't be the, you know, the focus of the final arc or the final conflict. And it feels like padding, even though it's, you know, it's a war. So they're just fighting these people as they, you know, show up. But at the same time, you just kind of feel like, okay, none of the fights really feel like they're there to accomplish anything on the part of, you know, the Sternritter or the Soul Reapers. Mm. It's like, Iwatch didn't need the Soul Reapers to be destroyed to be able to get into, you know, to be able to get into King's realm. I guess he needed Ichigo to come back because that way, you know, he can get in there, but he needed the Ichigo to have a reason to come back. But at the same time, Ichigo eventually would have come back, so the fights were ultimately pointless.
I would have liked it if during each fight, like somewhere during the middle of each fight, there was like a few panels of Ichigo just still run down the stairs. Like, hey, that's like the Goku thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know what helped for me. Hey, look, remember the main character? He's on his way. Yeah. Look, he's still on his way.
That would have just gotten silly. But you know,
I know, but I mean, why not?
I mean, but you know, that's the thing, ultimately. It's like, in the previous two major arcs, the fights were by people that they had no choice but to fight. If Ichigo didn't fight, he wouldn't be able to save Rukia or Orihime. In this case, Iwatch's forces, they needed to fight to get Ichigo to come, but Ichigo eventually would have left the King's realm anyway, so all it really does is it makes it a little bit faster, but ultimately it kind of feels like, okay, yeah, but fair enough, but again, it wasn't necessary, you know? And so the whole thing feels like it's just... And besides, you didn't have to show that many fights, you know?
How many fights did we get anyway?
Let's see, there was the one Masked Masculine, S-Note, the one against, what's his name? Grummy, the kid that had his imagination.
Oh, yeah. Three.
Oh, there were some others. It's been too long. I can't remember them all. But I know that there was the one. Oh, there was the one with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with Bambietta.
And Bambietta. And
five?
So something like that. But still, that's a fair number of fights for something that didn't actually need those fights. So, anyway, I'm just hoping that the series ends soon because I want to see what the ending is. But let's move on to One Piece, chapter 751.
So, what do you think of that cover page?
Yeah, limited cover series, number 21, volume 1, Onward to My Friends, and it shows a figure who we can't really recognize that well, but he's in an underwater boat, and so we're
actually,
thinking...
Actually, I can.
Well?
If you look, it really does look Jinbei.
Well, it's just a shadow, is the thing.
But shadow?
It does look like Jinbei, and I'm pretty sure it's meant to be Jinbei. We'll probably find out by next week. I don't think this is Oda saying, who could it be? It's more like, no, this just looks like a nice drawing that I can do.
Well, at least it's not Karibu.
Oh, jeez, yeah, I would kill something. But yeah, Onward to My Friends, which I guess that could mean two things. It could either mean Jinbei is going to meet his old crewmates, or he's going to go meet up with Luffy. So you start wondering, okay, I wonder how long it will be. Will he be joining up with them during the, Dressrosa arc, or will
they'll probably join after
him? Yeah, immediately after that, or maybe a couple arcs after that. We'll have to see. But either way, it does suggest that Jinbei is heading towards Luffy and the others, which I'm really hoping, because
he did make that promise to Ace. Remember,
he did, and you also had he did say he would join the crew after he deals with some stuff, and it'd just be really nice to have this kind of, person joining this way of someone joining the crew, because you do have, a lot of them that kind of basically, the arc they were introduced in, they joined, with Nami and Robin, it was a little more, they had some arcs after they were introduced that needed to be dealt with. But this is like the first time that we'd have had someone that was introduced, wasn't even considered as a new member for the crew, really. And then just, went through an entire arc, then disappeared, came back, and then disappeared again, and is now coming back. That'd be really interesting. But, yeah, so in this chapter, we get to see Sabo fighting against the Marines, and it turns out that he's got this technique that basically turns his fingers into dragon claws that he can use to crush everything. He's like, he can crush a human skull as easily as he crushes an egg.
I love how one of the soldiers was like, watch out, this thing's freaking strong. He's like, yeah, claws.
Yeah. Yeah. Although that man, that pose with his hand, with his fingers, is really awkward.
I don't know how I'm trying to do it. I just can't do it. I can sort of do it,
but I can't spread my fingers as wide as he can,
No, I can't either.
And it really hurts to do it. But yeah, and then, of course, Fujitora is like, do you think that birdcage might cut my meteors? And then the meteors fall, and it cuts the meteors. And so he's got, like, widespread damage, and he's like, oh, whoops. It turns out he's like, well, that was a mistake. And
I didn't hurt anyone now, did I?
Yeah.
Tell us when you're going to do this next time.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I dropped one. Before you do.
After reading the Enies Lobby and Water 7 arcs again, I think I figured out why I like Fujitora so much. He reminds me of Garp a lot. He's the kind of good guy that does, the right thing, but at the same time, he's kind of working for the wrong side in a certain way. But he's also kind of really goofy. And he has that very similar relationship between himself and his men that Garp had. And so that's a lot of fun, I think. And then it turns out that Bastille, the Vice Admiral, is kind of, he's beat up. And I was kind of hoping that when Sabo destroys his mask, that it would turn out that the guy is actually really pretty. But he looks about as ugly as you'd expect.
It's interesting how Sabo mentions that, I'm not used to these powers yet, so I keep dodging everything. It goes to show that, just because someone gets those powers doesn't mean that they're, like, super uber amazing. They have to take some time to get used to it. I mean, Sabo just got the flame fruit, a couple of chapters ago. And it's not like, other characters who get their sun power up and suddenly can beat the crap out of their enemies like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's still being really impressive with them, but at the same time, mm-hmm. it's probably better if he keeps dodging stuff.
Yeah.
Just because you've got a lot of, Logia users that don't dodge stuff, and then suddenly someone with haki shows up, and you're like, that's a good habit to keep,
It's like, let's just dodge everything, okay. Yeah. Haki, as I'm dodging everything.
Yeah, and then of course, you get a little bit two-panel flashback of when Sabo learned about Ace's death. And you're just like, oh, poor Sabo. Yeah. Let's see, we've got some more, everyone's advancing, you've got the Funk Brothers that show up and say, hey, Luffy, go down, we are saved by Usopp too, go down this tunnel, will ya? It's a shortcut. And then they go through there. and you've got Robin that calls and says, hey, we've got the keys, so we're going to bring them up at the fourth step on the flower field. And you've got Bartolomeo in the background. He's just got these, like, His eyes are just perfectly round, and he's got this ridiculous smile on his face.
Ah.
And then, of course, the chapter ends with Luffy discovering, "Hey, wait a minute! This isn't a tunnel. It's a dead end, and there's all this water." And then Doflamingo's like, "Oh, this is just a well that's tilted on its side. There is no shortcut." And we're like, "Oh crap! Luffy
be
in trouble."
Those guys
trouble.
Tricked them.
Those
guys
jerks.
Tricked.
Yeah, looks like they were working for Doflamingo all along, but."
Were they? Or were they just like, "Okay, we're gonna try and lure him and get out of here alive. This is
Might have been that, yeah. I do like how after the phone call, Luffy's like, "See, it worked out." And Law's like, "By coincidence."
By coincidence.
Yeah.
So there's your explanation right there.
Yeah, this was a good One Piece chapter. It, I
I
don't know,
liked
there
it.
were some parts that were kind of felt like it was a little disjointed, you know? It wasn't focusing on one thing, but it was better than last week's where it was focusing on everyone. With this one, it's more, you know, it's split between Ace and then Luffy.
You mean Sabo and Luffy?
Yes, Sabo and
Ace is
Luffy.
dead, you fool.
Shut up. Like, don't forget who pays you.
Ace's wanted poster looks really weird, though. When I saw it, like,
It does look kind of weird, but
it looks
then
like
again, it
the
was a.
art's kind of changing a bit now or something.
Well,
I'm
it
not...
was a small drawing, so I don't know if
True.
exactly you like it. But yeah, so it was a better chapter than last week, I'd have to say, but still not Oda at his
Much better.
best. Though I do like the twist at the end with Doflamingo showing up like that.
Like, look, the main boss has appeared already. Okay.
Yep, so you're like, interesting. That's
Got between
throwing us
a
off.
rock and
A rock and a pimp.
a rocket.
Who says, "Am I gonna have to slap you?" All right.
Slap up. Yeah.
Yeah, no, not that
But
word.
it would have worked.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Naruto. Chapter 682. Bet you never seen this.
Yeah.
Okay, all I'm gonna say is, what the hell? This was actually kind of really funny.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Kishimoto, when he does it right, knows how to still be funny. And I mean, he builds it up with, you know, Naruto being like, Sasuke being like, "That's jutsu." And Naruto's like, he's like, "Trust me on this one. This is our best shot, you know? I'm telling you, I've been secretly practicing this jutsu even more than the Rasengan. It's worth giving it a shot, no?" So instantly you're thinking, wait, is this some kind of unknown jutsu that we haven't seen before that he's been practicing a lot? And I'm just like, oh, Kishimoto, you twit. Don't you dare introduce a new power up this way by saying,
No,
"Oh,
I
dude,
had a
yeah, I've
friend.
totally been practicing it." And then he does, and then of course you get the page and he does the, he does the shadow clones, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I mean, he has been practicing that one more than the Rasengan. I mean, yes, I hadn't thought of that, but I don't see how that's going to help. And then the next page turns out he was talking about the Ninja Centerfold Reverse Harem Jutsu, where he turns into all of the pretty guys in front of. Oh, geez, what was her face again? In front of
Kaguya
Kaguya, yeah.
and Sakura. Sakura right there, like, what?
And the expressions on Sakura and Kaguya's faces are just perfect because Kaguya's just got like these, her eyes are just wide and she just doesn't understand what the hell is going on. And of course you've got Sakura who's all like, like starts with a nosebleed and he's like, "You idiot!" He's like, "What are you thinking? This might work on me, but there's no way it would work on a god." And then he kicks Kaguya and Sakura's like, "It worked!" And then, of course, but Kaguya recovers fast, fast enough that she's able to resist it. And, I mean, I know I should be pissed at how stupid this is, but at the same time, it's just too hilarious.
It works because it's basically it's a jutsu. It's two jutsus we've seen Naruto use very like from the very beginning.
Well, it does work. I mean, it's kind of, it is, it does, yeah, that is one of those, that is actually an excellent point. Because a lot of my complaints have been about how Naruto has been doing stuff that had nothing to do with anything in the beginning, and this is all of the things that were at the beginning. So it's callback. It's nicely done, actually.
In a sense, it kind of works. Maybe he can
Yeah.
improvise on trying to distracts her more.
Yeah, but I mean, do keep in mind, well, even though Naruto, I don't know, the one thing that I would say against this is that Naruto has never actually done this before, you know? Because it was actually Konohamaru that introduced the reverse harem, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the reverse ninja centerfold with, by transforming into Sasuke and Sai in front of Sakura. And because she's always like, oh, yeah, as if that would work on me. And then he's like, okay, boom. And she's like, whoa! And Naruto was like, don't you ever pull that shit again.
And then he pulled that shit.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, Naruto, you hypocrite.
I just realized it.
Yeah, that is kind
of hilarious. Thanks for reminding me of that. I'm like, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and but what's really, yeah, what's kind of, you know, it does kind of make sense. I mean, I know you'd be like, oh, hey, look, this godlike being, of course she's not going to be interested in naked men. But then you remember, oh, wait a minute, she had two kids. So
yes.
She did the sex, and
she got jiggy with it.
Yeah, unless she had twins, which I'm pretty sure they specifically say it's an older and a younger brother, not twins. So barring that, she enjoyed it enough to do it twice, at least. Therefore, the suggestion that she may like the man meat is not all that unreasonable. And clearly she does, even if she doesn't react as obviously as Sakura. But
don't forget, the problem is that Kaguya is having the body that once was Madara.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's a little disturbing now. Right?
Yeah, it turns out Madara's gay. Who knew?
Well, there we go. We had a feeling about that.
Yeah, and then she rips off a move from Avatar The Last Airbender by transporting them to some place that traps them in the middle of, inside a glacier. And then she uses her ability to escape from the glacier, leaving Naruto and Sasuke trapped, which, by the way, is a complete ripoff of how Katara beats Azula in the finale of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, it's ice.
Yeah, well, yeah, they end up in, like, the middle of a frozen wasteland, and then...
Actually, okay, about the wasteland, the page where it shows the castle... I swear it almost reminded me of that one color page, of that one color spread of the fantasy thing, the medieval fantasy thing.
A little bit.
Almost, except it's frozen. I'm like, interesting.
Curious. But yeah, and then we end the chapter with Kaguya deciding she's going to split Naruto and Sasuke up. This was actually a decent chapter. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Cue the fans going, no, don't split them up. I'm like...
Cue the other fans going, yes, die, you bastard, die. But the thing about this chapter is, one, it was actually kind of funny. Two, the other things that happened in the chapter did not piss me off. Partially probably because I've gotten to the phase where I'm just, you know, accepting of the fact that this is our villain now. Even though it's still complete horseshit. And the fact that, you know, she comes out of nowhere. But it's been enough chapters where I've decided, you know what, whatever. Let's enjoy this. And I guess it does help a little bit that as ridiculous and stupid as the ninja centerfold moment is, it does, humanize Kaguya a little bit. It gives us more, like a glimpse of more of her character than just, I am the big, bad, evil woman, you know? Mm. It's like, you know, it's just a little, there's just that little tiny something extra there. Even if that tiny something extra is, I also like men. Attractive naked men. Also, please, nobody cut that audio bit out of the podcast and put it out of context, please. But nonetheless, yeah, it gives her that little extra something. It's not enough to make her an actually interesting character, but it makes her more interesting than she was in previous chapters. So, all right, let's move on. Hunter x Hunter chapter 345.
Signature.
Yeah. I do have two things that I want to point out. One, I do think it's kind of nice to see the hero go back home at a point that isn't the end of his journey, because we know that Gon is going to continue, you know, doing his thing. But at the same time, it is nice to see him go back home to his aunt, like, not just at the end. Like, the aunt's actually, you know, it's kind of reminds me of how, I didn't read all of Rave, but in Rave Master, how, you know, you had the main character, Haru leaves his older sister and goes on his adventure, and they don't come back until after he's finished his adventure. Well, with this, you know, Gon leaves his aunt and ends up coming back to her before his adventure's over, which is a nice touch.
Well, the thing is, on his phone call with his dad, he told his dad pretty much that he couldn't, like, feel his power anymore, and his dad, oh, okay, I think I get it, or something. And then he goes back home, and then we pretty much find out why. We find out that we are reminded that Gon's goal was to find his father.
And now he did.
And then he did, and so that, and then, well, yeah. I didn't read that far ahead still, but in a way, it's got something to do with the Nen.
Yeah, I'd actually laugh if it turns out that Gon is no longer the main character, and from here on out, it's all about Ging.
That'd be hilarious. He's old enough to be the main character. Older than.
Yeah.
Much older.
Yep, and then also another point that I feel worth pointing out is that this series gets a lot darker than I was expecting from, you know, well, I guess I should have been expecting it. I mean, he did do Yu Yu Hakusho, which is kind of a dark series in places.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't quite think that we'd be introduced to a character that is literally a serial killer, where you bring it, like, where this guy, his aide, brings in these two club girls, and then the prince dude takes them into the room, and you're going to think, oh, sex, okay. And then it turns out that, no, he just likes murdering people, and you see that there's blood everywhere. And I'm like, well, that's...
Well, no, see, the reason he slaughtered is because all they cared about was fashion and fleeting. So, well, pretty much he was talking about how they never heard of all these other things you mentioned. I'm like, I don't know what any of these things you're mentioning.
Because they're made up. But, you know, but nonetheless, at the same time, the way he talks about how, you know, he's looking to create Arth, produced by youth with a future in an extreme situation. Basically, he's saying, you know, when it's people that all they care about is fashion and sex, then, you know, that's just dissection, you know, that's nothing. But when it's someone that has a future ahead of them, you know, something that, you know, someone that can make something out of their life, then that's art, and he's still going to kill them.
This guy's insane.
Well, yeah.
He's almost as... He's just as bad. Is he worse than Hannibal Lecter?
I don't know. We didn't see exactly what he did to them, so who knows?
Well, we don't have to. We can kind of insinuate we can see that pool of... Well, not pool, more like...
Pool of blood. But,
Weird pool, yeah, pool of blood.
Yeah, and then, of course, I kind of like that part, the part at the end with where you see two new girls being brought in just gives you the chills, because you look at them and you're like, you know what, they look nicer than the last two, you know?
Maybe they'll get out a lot. No, they won't.
No, they're dead. But,
they're dead.
You know, at the same time, you're like, oh, dear, this is kind of dark, but...
It doesn't work for me personally.
No, it doesn't.
But then again, they're not main characters, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah, man.
Well,
then again, I don't know any of the main characters well enough, so for me, all the characters are kind of equal right now. But nonetheless, yeah, I really need to catch up on this series so I know what the heck's going on.
But then, in a way, to balance out the whole, you know, that prince being a serial killer, we get the last page where Kupi's asked, okay, what are you gonna do about how to get those eyes back? And he's like, well. There are two people who told me they would rather die than hand them over, but they changed their minds about dying.
Yeah.
It'll be the same with this prince.
And they're like, and the one's like, I hope so, and I'm like, no, I hope not. But, alright, let's move on to Nisekoi, chapter 128, Together. And, yeah, so this game is, let's see, I'm just trying to see where to start here. Yeah, it's basically, it continues the King game. Mm-hmm. You've got Shu who reveals that, you know, it's like, you know, you got the moment where it's like, reveal your crush, and he's like, oh yeah, of course I have a crush. And you've got Ruri who sort of like twitches a little bit, and then Shu is like, my crush is Yui and Kurosaki and Onodera and Seishiro and Marika. It's like, I like you all. And then of course Ruri beats up on him, and he's like, she's like, you know, I have to ask, what about my name, huh? He's like, oh, sorry, don't worry, you too. And then Yeah, and then of course you get the moment where she's like, what's this feeling of something tugging in my chest? And so you get the actual introduction of what we knew was pretty much happening with, with, you know, the two friends of the two of the main characters get most likely getting together. So that was expected. And then of course you've got, and it turns out Marco's number seven. It's like, the person I'm in love with is, and everyone ignores her.
Well, it's obvious we know who it is.
Yeah. And of course you've got, and then you get Haru and, what's her
friend? Her friend Fu and Paula.
Paula, yes. And then they show up and, you know, it's, you've got, just because Haru's like, I'm worried about my sister. And then Fu is all, oh, hey, we're going to do this thing where we're going to work together and make, whenever one of us becomes the king, we're going to make the, you know, we're going to peek on, you know, Raku and your sister and make them do, you know, do stuff. And then Fu is all like, oh, hey, what number are you? Is like, number two. Why? No reason. And then she makes Raku hug Haru. And Haru is like, what are you doing? He's like, whoops, I got mixed up. And yeah, it's it's quite silly. I've decided I like Fu. She's entertaining. She has.
That's why I remember her more.
Yeah, she's, and I like, kind of like her expression when she's asking for Haru's number. There, it's just, I don't know, just the way that face is drawn is both cute and hilarious. And then you've got Paula. Who's like, oh hey, I'm the king. Okay, everybody, bring me candy. He's like, there's a child. There's a child among us.
And, candy.
Yeah, and then of course everyone sleeps over because they're not gonna leave Yui and Raku in the same home alone. And then, yeah, and then they end up staying up all night because they don't trust Yui, and that's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny because I think one of them shouted, oh, my dead body, we're going to play board games till morning.
And it's actually kind of funny on the previous page where you see everyone sleeping, you kind of see that Shu has these massive bumps on his head, and you see that he's like,
oh,
it looks like he's started to draw something on the floor with his blood. And you're like, would you? They didn't translate it, but I'm thinking, what do you want to bet that translates to Ruri?
Probably.
Yeah, that's kind of hilarious. All right, and that was that chapter. It was a great chapter. I quite enjoyed it, I must say.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, well, with the last page, the shooting gun in your bag, and I wasn't gonna explain that. Oh, we didn't buy some friends over. Oh, okay.
It's like, we brought more people to avoid an orgy happening. Somehow it worked. I don't know why, but yeah.
It worked. Somehow it worked.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to World Trigger Chapter 65, Invasion Part 14. Son of a.
Oh my god. Okay. If you guys get Part 20,
somebody needs to stop doing chapter titles because they clearly can't be bothered. But
holy crap! Because some series I've read. Let me on it. Some series I've read, their parts don't go past 10. Okay.
Yeah.
They know how long their parts go. Well, I guess over monthly series, but
yeah, this is kind of silly. But all right, well, yeah, the chapter is basically Jin fighting, and it's pretty awesome. You see that he's a badass even without his powers because he lures what's his face into a trap.
You say,
yes,
that's his name.
Yeah, and so you've got, let's see, in the other rest, you've got the one. Guy, the one with a black trigger that can turn that can do liquid and stuff.
Oh.
Who's invading? And he gets attacked by a B rank squad, and they get kind of trashed. But then it turns out that they lured him into the battle simulation arena, where basically, and this is kind of badass. Basically, they have an unlimited supply of Trion now. And I don't think it's going to give him, since he's not a border agent, it's not going to give him an unlimited supply. But this is quite possibly the worst place he could be.
Because it doesn't matter how indifferent you are.
Yeah, sure he could, sure he could kill them, but at the same time they're not going to bail out because he can't capture them because he doesn't have one of the capture triggers or whatever. But yeah, even if he kills them, they don't bail out because unlimited supply of Tron, because it's now a battle simulation, except for him, it's not.
Oh, yeah, true. And also, he won't be able to destroy the training area at all.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to this. This is an absolutely brilliant way to end the chapter. I loved it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That works for me.
Great chapter. All right. Stealth Symphony, Chapter 18, About That Man's Invisibility, Part 4. And what's also nice to point out is that Parts 1 and 2 were Chapter 1 and 2 of About That Man's Invisibility. So it was quite interesting that they did that. Mm-hmm. And then also we get a little flashback of the, you know, of the chief of the, whatchamacallem group.
B&D, I don't know what they call it.
Yeah. D&D?
B&D.
Oh, okay. For a second, wait. B&D?
Virtue and Vigilance, or Virtue, I don't know what
else. D&D. Okay, that is totally a D&D pun.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's, you got him and you got the police chief lady wearing an outfit that seems a lot more appropriate to the way she kind of tends to dress, because she looks like the typical scantily clad dark elf character from Dungeons and Dragons.
Really?
So, yeah. Huh. She kind of reminds me of the one, the dark elf lady from, whatchamacallit, Record of Lotus War. Kind of reminds me of that one. But, alright, yeah, so you got a lot of people who's like, oh, hey, look, we're revealing the truth about how there were dragons left behind. They're not some grand invasion force. They're just trying to get to the ship and get back to their homeworld, and blah, blah, stuff, something about alternate universes, blah, blah, dragons are humans from alternate universes, blah, blah, I don't give a shit.
I mean,
it's confusing, doesn't make any sense. It doesn't specifically say, wait, so the dragons are people from our world that gain power? Wait, how do they gain power? What the f*** is going on here? It's like they spend so much time explaining absolutely jack shit. But,
and then when they try to, they can't even get it right.
It makes absolutely no freaking sense. But, yeah. And of course, I don't know, and there's this weird moment where, you know, when Troma continues to protect Slice, he's like, there ain't nothing inside you, got it? And it's like, wait, why is that meant to be a shocking moment? We already knew that! This has been forced on us so many times, and yet it's supposed to be this big moment. I'm like, you morons. Anyway. And then Jig shows up, and he, of course, is still insane.
Jig's reaction is kind of how I'm feeling when I read this series now.
Yeah. Which do you think is better? Well, not this series, for one. No, but I do like that, I do like how they, you know, what is characters right now? It feels like this really would have been an interesting thing, you know, concept, had he been interesting in the first place, and had we actually spent time developing any of these characters, because this whole concept of he's just insane. And so he's like, oh, hey, this guy was pointing a gun at you. I need to kill him. Wait, am I retaliating for being shot? Which is better? What's a better reason? So, yeah, and then, of course, he turns on Troma because he's like, oh, hey, Troma, you're protecting him, aren't you? And then he turns into a dragon and basically beats the trash out of Troma, rips his arm off, gets him covered in blood so you can actually see what he looks like because he's covered in blood.
Well, and now we know how it works. Yeah. You got covered in blood.
Yeah. And it would really be a very effective moment if it weren't for the fact that, again, we don't give two craps about these characters.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been enough development. So yeah. I'm just getting more pissed seeing how there would be stuff that would be actually interesting to see, except none of it matters because none of the characters matter.
I mean, I'm even surprised that Slice just stand there and Alice is right there. Like, dude, I thought you were going to kill her. Why you just stand there? Talking.
Well, because this is kind of entertaining to see, I guess.
It's more entertaining than killing you. I'll kill you later.
Yeah, well, Slice is probably going to be targeted by Jig next. But still, this is, again, like we've been saying for weeks, interesting concepts, terrible execution. I mean, that's what this manga comes down to. But, and even the concepts become stupid because of how stupid the execution is. But nonetheless, let's talk about the Nisekoi and My Love Story crossover from the girls' side.
It wasn't much for me.
It was entertaining. I liked how they did the whole, you know, actually introducing the girls with, you know, how they were, it was like Chitoge, daughter of a gang boss, Tsugumi, assassin. And then the best one, Marika, Yeah, it was like the best one is Marika, daughter of the chief of police, and she's just tells these cops that, like, hey, these guys are being very violent, rude and violent towards these poor, helpless females. Please punish them. And then you got the two cops that are just like, Just the way their faces are drawn is hilarious. It's like daughter of the chief of police. And then, of course, Onodera shows up. And, you know, since she's not able to help with the violent part, she's just like, oh, hey, are you okay? And it's like, daughter of a Japanese confectionery shop owner. You're like, ha. And I do like in the background as the guys are being led away, you've got Marika with that smug expression on her face. And yeah, and then the rest of the chapter is kind of just the girls talking about guys, so about their individual guys, which, you know, you find out you get the you know, it's all in the reactions from, you know, of the characters to each other's somewhat dirty questions.
Come to think of it, the way that Chitobi's been reacting in this side story, it seems like it came like before that Romeo and Juliet part, doesn't it?
Does
Feels like,
it?
yeah, because I don't know why she's reacting like that. I can't tell. Or maybe,
A little bit, yeah, 'cause you know when Tsugumi is at, when she's when Chitoga's all, I wish I had a boyfriend, and Tsugumi is like, you have Raku Ichijo, and of course her Chitoga's expression is great. It's like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So it does, yeah. The fact, you know, that does make it seem like it a lot more the way she reacted before she actually fell for him. So I think that's when this came out, 'cause keep in mind this is actually these crossover chapters are actually a lot older. They weren't recently created. So yeah. Yeah, and it's basically ends up with, oh hey, look, the weird looking guy is actually, you know, he fits with her. It's kind of a ends the chapter with, oh hey, look, this romantic couple actually belongs together kind of deal. So which works for me. All right then, let us talk about let's see, we've got,
Fascination Classroom, Chapter 92.
yes, let me pull that up. Let's see, this was the one, right? Okay, yeah, this is the one that just recently came out, right?
Yeah, should we?
Yeah, let's, yeah,
Yeah, let's do it this
obviously,
time.
yeah, it's been so far behind. Yeah, with this one, what it is, yeah, basically with this chapter, we get, we get, them basically doing the attack strategies while the, kids are trying to avoid them.
I love that the attack strategies are named after, Koro-sensei.
Yeah, and it is really fun. It's really well done, I think. Just with, you know, just how they're kind of showing, okay, you know, they're at a massive disadvantage, but they're able to, you know, resist, fight back, but at the same time, they're not, you know, doing, you know, they're not being, you know, they're not overpowered or anything here. And so I kind of like that, the way they approach that. And so, and it is quite nice, overall. I enjoy the way it does that. And so I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of curious to see where we'll kind of go from here.
I personally like the part where Koro-sensei is talking about, oh, you recall Hannibal Carthage, how he fought Rome and the way to beat Rome, because he did things that just didn't seem normal in tactics. I'm like, yep, that's Hannibal right there.
Yeah, that is kind of, yeah, it is fun. It's a good chapter. I like it overall. I mean, it is kind of showing that, just that whole, oh, you know, they're in trouble, but at the same time, they can win this.
I mean, yeah, if Hannibal did lose eventually, but I can't remember any other ruler, any other person who probably led Rome around by the nose for a while before he actually lost. I mean, there probably was, but I can't think of anyone else.
Yeah, so it was a good chapter. I liked it. All right, let's see. Which chapter of Shokugeki no Soma were we on again?
75.
75? All right, Beneath the Mask.
It follows just after,
Yeah, immediately after the, the, what's her faces,
Hisako?
murder.
Hisoko? What's her name?
Hisako, I think, yeah. Yeah, and it turns out that the burger that Hayama does is a little less a burger and more like,
It's like a hot pocket.
Well, it's more like a kebab but with, you know, a burger patty in it as well as the kebab meat, which absolutely sounds freaking delicious. You
Ooh,
know,
okay, you got me there.
I could totally see this working. You know, he chose a pita. He has a pita bread because, you know, it keeps all the juices in, which
Oh, yeah,
is
Peter.
a really good idea. And I'm just looking at this thinking, I need to make this. You know, but I'm just thinking, how on earth am I going to get myself some kebab meat? We have a shawarma place that I could get it from, but the meat from there doesn't taste all that great. So
It's apparently it's like a delicacy in Turkey or something. I think
it is,
it
yeah.
might mention before.
It's very common street food in Europe.
In Europe, or you mean middle?
In Europe.
Okay.
Keep in mind that where in the US you get a lot of South American and Central American immigrants, in Europe you get Turkish and other Muslim immigrants.
Okay.
And much like the South Americans bring tacos to us, bless them for it, the Middle Easterners that come to Europe bring them kebabs.
I don't like Taco Bell.
Well, Taco Bell is an abomination ultimately, but
Indeed.
I don't even know why the hell you brought that up. That
Because
had
you mentioned
absolutely
tacos.
nothing to do with tacos.
Oh yeah, so donor don donut, or how you
Doner kebab is how they call
don
it.
donor
So
kebab.
basically, that's what he's doing here, except, and he has all the fixings for a doner kebab, except he also has a proper patty in it. So I could see, you know, I could kind of see that. It'd be a burger like that. Maybe here we wouldn't do it in, you know, in the pita bread. It'd be a use a proper bun. But I could totally see someone doing a, you know, a place doing a burger with kebab meat on top, kind of like, you know, sometimes you get places that have burgers that have like what you would call it, deli meat, or it's I think corned beef, was that it? No, not corned beef. It's oh, what's it called?
I don't know.
It's not
You're the food
bologna.
expert, not me.
I'm trying to remember what it was. It's not roast beef, although roast beef on a burger would probably be delicious. What's it called again?
Well, why do you think about that? I just want to mention that the part where they point about why it worked with the smell or rather the taste apparently was because
Pickles.
he was pickled.
Yeah, and then I never thought of pickles as being an important part because I hate pickles. They're nasty.
You don't like pickles? I actually
Oh,
like
they're
pickles.
disgusting.
I don't know why, because see, I eat McDonald's, I
Yeah.
eat Burger King, but I can stand the pickles. I used to not like pickles for the longest time. I used to first eat without ketchup and mustard, and I ate with ketchup, never mustard, and then eventually mustard, and then gradually onions, and then I can eat the pickles all at once. And the pickles actually have a taste that just works. I mean, when I read that, I think there's a little panel about how they had a picture of rice, a rice bowl, and pickles on top. I was like, Rama one half, you did big trouble in Nikon China.
Yes, I think that was, yeah, well, that was silly, yes. But yeah, it also points out how that the acidity of the pickles helps make the meat flavors stand out. And so I'm kind of thinking, okay, maybe next time I do a burger, I'll do pickles. Maybe.
You're gonna try pickles?
On a burger. On their own, pickles are nasty.
Yeah, they are. My sister can eat pickles, but I don't know how she can do it, but she can.
Yeah. And then, of course, you've got Hisako loses against Hayama. And of
Yeah.
course, you get the page of her losing her turtle outfit, which it feels a little, I don't know,
But
it's a little more disturbing than previous ones, because the previous ones were all silly and goofy. But with this one, she loses her clothes as a result of having been defeated in the competition. And so it feels a little iffy, you know.
Well, if you look in the little bit in the back, you see
That doesn't
the
matter.
principal
That really doesn't
of this
matter.
clothes too.
That really, 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 really does not matter in the slightest. It's still kind of really
Yeah.
uncomfortable because it's not like she's tasting something so delicious that she loses her clothes because it's an orgasmic experience and, oh, isn't this silly? No, it's literally this guy forcefully overpowered her. And now there's a visual representation of her clothes being removed as a result of his forceful overpowering, which is kind of
Ah,
disturbing.
remind you of that thing. Okay.
Yeah, so it's out of all the fan service in the series, this is my least favorite. Well, least favorite, I don't have a most favorite, but it's more disturbing than the other ones. The other ones had this sort of like silly innocence to them. This one was a bit more disturbing, you know?
You know, maybe it's a good thing that the females lost, so we don't have to see them get, you know.
I don't know. It is, yeah, that is kind of weird, isn't it? It's all the competitors are all guys. Okay, that's a little misogynistic, isn't it? Oh well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, at least one of the girls manages.
So, are you saying women are better in the?
I'm not saying that, Mo. I'm just saying that all the women in the girls in the show that are portrayed as being strong contenders are being defeated by guys. So, yeah. Anyway,
and the Shonen series.
Well, yeah, but nonetheless, that doesn't mean you can't have a little bit of equality. But yeah, and we also find out that what's his face is the rough-looking guy that was actually, you know, at first we're like, oh, hey, he's
Imasaka
bad...
Subaru.
Yes, at first we're like, oh, he's not such a bad guy, but then it turns out no, he's kind of a douchebag. He's not a really good cook. He just kind of, you know, he's all, you know, he likes to rile people up and steal their tools by defeating them. And well, no, wait, that doesn't happen yet. But he likes.
Dude,
to
what the heck?
Shut up! These we should be reviewing the most recent chapters, not being skipping like this. But anyway, yeah. So no, but seriously, I am getting to the point where I'm thinking we shouldn't be a chapter behind.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Stupid.
I hate that. I don't like that with Assassination Classroom at all myself.
Well, Assassination Classroom, we always review the most recent chapter. With this one, we're always a chapter behind. And so anyway,
it's weird.
Yep. Let's go ahead and. Let's go ahead and move on to the next set of chapters. All right, we're going to talk about the seven deadly sins.
Okay.
Yes. First these. Okay, one sec. Come on. One sec. Oh, geez, what's going on here?
Your microphone.
No, it's the... There it goes. Okay, there we go. All right.
The site?
Yeah, the...
Do we have plenty of time?
Will you be quiet? Okay. Let me actually say what I'm going to say. No, I mean the orientation of the pages wasn't fixing. But anyway, okay, Seven Deadly Sins, chapter, where'd it go? 83. Man, this isn't even 100 chapters long, and it's already got a bunch of stuff. Yeah. All right. So Slater, the rest of the Roars of Dawn show up, and the king says, "We stop attacking this place. It's kind of, you know, you're just gonna hurt yourselves. And besides, I will be saved soon. The Blazing Pig will save me from this impenetrable space." And then Elizabeth is like, "A pig?" And the audience is like, "A pig?" And then you just see Hawk. And then, yeah. And then basically we get a little bit of talking between the characters, and you've got You've got Gil Thunder and, what's his face, the other one?
Arthur?
No, not Arthur.
Dreyfus?
No.
Hauser?
Hauser, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, where he's like, oh, I was like, I can't believe I didn't notice him. I'm such a lousy friend. I was like, oh, I didn't know they were friends, but that's cool. But yeah, and then of course you've...
Sure they were friends.
Yeah.
Like, them and Grimoire.
Yeah. Wait, is he dead? No, he's not dead.
He's not? I thought he was dead.
Was he? I don't know. I thought what happened was that Elizabeth's sister died.
Yeah, I know she died.
Grimoire survived. Like, he took her corpse away.
Hmm.
Pretty sure he's,
he's
around somewhere. We'll kind of have to see. Hopefully he's still alive, because I'd like to see these people be reunited.
He might be alive. I could be wrong.
Yeah, but... Yeah, and of course, some of the best parts in this chapter come from Arthur, who was always like, oh, you know... It's like, you know, everything is thanks to Meliodas, who reacted without any regard to his well-being. And you're like, oh, hey, good. Arthur's humble. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's like, wait, who is this? And then, yeah, and of course he came in because he's, you know, your typical shonen hero, where he's like, you know, the king of Leonis was in trouble, so I'm rushing in to his aid at once. And, yeah. And so and then everyone's like, oh, wait. That was your power at the North Gate? And he's like, well, I couldn't use my magic because it's in me, but I can't get it out. And I was hoping to be able to release it against fighting against the Chief Holy Knight. But then you got Meliodas. Wait, you fought him without magic? That's impressive.
That is impressive.
I like it. It's like Hauser's like, is this guy stupid? Or Nguila's like, that or he's actually pretty impressive? Like, I'm going to go with impressive. And then, of course, you get a great scene with that one mage in with the helmet where she's, you know, teleporting them away. And she's like, ha-ha, you guys suck. You are not going to be able to get back. And, like, almost instantly they're like, we have to get back to the kingdom somehow. Huh? And they're like, wait, we're back
in the kingdom.
And then she's like, wait, what's going on here? And she tries to teleport them again. But then she gets teleported away. And she basically just gets constantly teleported everywhere.
To various places like Meteor Rain.
Yeah, Wyvern Nest. Like a bunch of birds, a graveyard, the ocean, a bunch of trolls? Ogres? I'm not sure. It doesn't say. But they look cool.
It's like, right.
And then she finally manages to, you know, get out of it. And I'm not sure, this one panel is kind of weird because it looks like suddenly she has cleavage, which she didn't before. Well, it's sort of like at the end after all the teleporting. It was like, wait, where'd that come from? Hmm. And then it was revealed that the hooded figure that was with Arthur is the... is someone that Meliodas recognizes and someone who is... Meliodas is like, I figured out who that is. And all the Western readers and probably a lot of the Japanese readers are like, really? It took you that long? But it turns out this she was with Arthur and is the apprentice of this other mage whose name is Vivian, which may sound a little familiar to some people. And then it turns out that it's the blazing boar, the sin of gluttony, the boar sin of gluttony, Merlin. And of course, anyone familiar with King Arthur is like, well, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Like the moment King Arthur showed up, we saw the mysterious hooded figure, and anyone that remembered that one of the seven deadly sins was a woman called Merlin. And suddenly, like, oh, gee, I wonder who this could possibly be.
Unless there was two Merlin,
yeah. Yeah, no.
But it could have been interesting, but nah.
But yeah, what I do like is just, like, you know, it is a nice reveal because we see what she actually looks like. Because, you know, a lot of the previous ones we hadn't seen, you know, we know that the wanted posters aren't accurate. Let me double check and see what I can, if I can see what, so, you know, this is volume 2. There's
volume 1. Check volume 1, chapter 1.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Let's see. Where is that list of... There we go. And go away, other books. You're in my way. Sorry, I had a stack of manga to move. All right, so going off of what she looks like and what she... You know, actually, she kind of looks exactly like her poster.
Wow. Nice. Well,
almost exactly, yeah. I mean, just slight differences in the art style. I mean, the one that we are introduced to here looks a little bit younger, her part... is on a different side, but, you know, she still looks pretty much exactly the way she's supposed to look, you know? And I mean, the same was can be said for, Diane. Because Diane basically looks exactly like herself, except in the picture, you know, in the vaunted poster, it doesn't show that she is... You know, that she's a giant. And it also gives her smaller eyes that make her look a little more like an adult than she does now. And King actually looks exactly like he does in the Wanted poster whenever he transforms into a human. And Bon also looks... Let me double check, get a better look. Where are those Wanted poster? Where's a better look of them? It was here somewhere. Where'd it go? I'm not finding it. Whatever. Yeah, but you get that poster. He sort of pretty much looks somewhat similar, except, you know, he has a different haircut and his face is a little more cartoony looking. And of course you've got Galther, who looks exactly like he does in the poster because he was shown only wearing armor there. And then the only one that really looked different was Meliodas, who looks absolutely nothing like his wanted poster. Which I don't even know how they did that. So, but yeah, anyway, so Merlin. Turns out, yes, Merlin is a woman. Also, she wears very few clothes, which is kind of silly, but whatever. And now I'm kind of wondering, okay, why is she the seven deadly sins of gluttony? Because this woman is quite skinny.
Maybe she's under fire for thirsting for too much knowledge, too much forbidden knowledge.
I can see that. It's probably not going to be that, because that's the obvious answer.
I can't think of anything. It's magic. What do you want? What else do you want to learn? More magic?
No, I'm just saying. It's like
that. I want to learn to become God. Nah.
Yeah, that seems like the obvious answer, you know. So, anyway, okay, let's move on to Fairy Tale chapter 390, where we flash back and see Gray's dead dad. Huh, that's odd. And then we have a color spread with everyone in swimsuits, and you kind of think, oh dear, Mashima, you're at it again. So, except I get thinking this time he showed restraint when he drew Lucy for some reason. Yeah, and then...
Well, you would know that.
Well, shut up. No, but yeah, and then you've got the... And then also you've got the kind of the cute moment where Gray makes a little ice tiara for Wendy, and you've got Juvia in the background who's pouting and pointing at her own head. Like, oh, that's fun. But yeah, and so we begin the chapter with the freaking obvious reveal that, oh, hey, Silver is Gray's father. Duh. Seriously, Mashima, you didn't think we got this. You had to make it so freaking obvious, and then you're acting all, ooh, look at me. I've made this so secret and everything. I was like, oh, just...
Insert all these Darth Vader jokes.
Yes, exactly. And then of course, Gray's like, no, my dad died. I saw it with my own eyes. He's like, I am Silver Fullbuster, your father. And Gray's like, you're lying. And they fight, and then Silver is all... And then Gray's like, ah, no way my dad is alive. And Silver's like, ah, ha, ha. And he's like, you know, it's no lie that what I am is your father, but who I am is another story. So you're like, wait, what? He's like, what's that supposed to mean? He's like, I am more important to you than you know. You and I have a destiny to face one another in battle. And Gray's all like, wait, what's going on here? And so we skip and we cut to the other fight, which is happening and stuff. And, you know, the Fairy Tale is kind of getting the trash handed to them. And, of course, Juvia, with her powers of true love, is sensing that some Gray may be in trouble. And then we skip back to, let's see, where to go. And we got a little bit of a fight between Rogue and Sting and Marred Gear. And so, I don't know. This part, I was like, well, this is dumb. Marred Gear is not an interesting character because we don't have anything from him. It's kind of silly. I like the scene where, you know, where the payoff of that one guy being a mushroom on Happy's head is that Minerva knows that it's him and pulls the mushroom off and is like, hey, this is one of the demons. He can show us the location of the control room. And it's like, oh, hey, that's funny. And then we cut back to Gray and his father, but it would appear that, you know, it turns out that the body is the body of Gray's father, but it's actually just a vessel. It's a dead body that someone else found lying around. And then you get a reminder of, like, all the members of Tartarus are demons from the Book of Xerath. That includes me, of course. My real body isn't human. So around this time, as I was reading, my brain started clicking a little bit. I was like, wait a minute. And then... He's like, you know, being in a demon form, it made things complicated. That's why I take human form most of the time. And, you know, when he decided to get one, he picked a good-looking dead body, and he's been using it ever since. You know, the body that I just happened to make my own might be the thing that drew us together. Do you know how long I've been waiting for the day I'll get to murder you with my own two hands? And Gray's like, It's like, you have no right to use my dad's body, and even if I've got a grudge with you, I don't see what bone you got to pick with me. And then, the moment where Silver reveals, oh, I have one, I won't rest until I've killed everyone connected to Ur. And then the clicking in my brain starts going, and then she imprisoned me for a whole decade, see, and suddenly you're like, wait. And then it turns out that Silver... is Deliora.
Dun, dun, dun!
I mean, good gosh, it... Yeah, It works so perfectly. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is Mashima pulling off an amazing twist by acting like he's a complete dunce. I can just imagine he was laughing this entire time where it was all like, oh, hey, I've got, you know, oh, look, this person, who could he be? There's a connection to Gray. Who could he be? Who could he be? And all the readers are like, it's his dad. You're not that clever. And then it turns out is. And then at the right here is the moment where Mashima says, fuck you, I am that clever.
Yeah, no, well, not all the readers. I'm sure some of the readers are like, yeah, I'm not going to believe the father part. I mean, it's you, Mashima. We know what you're up to.
I mean, he had me fooled. I thought maybe it's
yeah, he did. He had me fooled too, because he's like, oh, the father. So I'm like, father and child, father and son, kind of like, mm-hmm. Like I'm sure he did that. I'm sure that was put on purpose to
make, yeah. To make it pretty obvious.
It wasn't just like, oh, I didn't mean to put that there. Maybe the reason why he had the chapters all being put at the end of each series is at the end of each chapter title mm-hmm. for the next chapter for it is to do that. Pull that thing off. Like, yeah, perfect.
It was, yeah, it most definitely was that he wanted us to think that it was Gray's father. He made it obvious. And then it turns out, no, he's dead. And, oh, by the way, you remember that one demon from the book of Zeref? You know, the one that you haven't thought about because he was so early on in the beginning and you're not connecting him to all these other demons from the book of Zeref? Oh, hey, look, it's Deliora. Wait,
what about Lullaby?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that right now. I was like, it seems like that one seems like it was a much weaker one, but it's Lullaby is probably alive somewhere as well, you know, since they have, you know, since those two seem to be have like similar demon forms. But if Deliora can, you know, take over a human a corpse, then maybe Lullaby can do the same.
Possible. And what I do like about this chapter so far is actually how Crunchyroll lays out the pages, where basically, you know, the whole reveal of my name is Deliora, and then all of a sudden you click next page like, you remember me, don't you, Gray? And like, holy shit.
Yeah, and the thing, awesome. And the thing is that everyone's like, hey, wait a minute, he was dead. We saw Deliora was dead, and then
exactly.
Deliora is just like, yeah, I was dead. It took 10 years to die, but hey, remember that place that Tartarus has that can bring us back to life? And so at the same time, I'm like, wait, is that actually Silver's body, or did he just use it, make it look like Silver's body? But either way, he got that's a bit of you know, a disconnect. But at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, he can be brought back to life. Oh dear. And then of course,
well, they destroyed it now, so
yeah. And so yeah, but now, and of course, Gray is just furious because like, oh hey, he's like, look, it's Deliora still alive. Ur died for nothing. He's defiling his father's corpse, basically. And then you cut to the necromancer guy who is like, the story of the boy Gray draws to a close this day. And Juvia's like, what did you say? And at the one hand, I'm saying, okay, not for one second am I going to buy that Gray's going to die. You've pulled this before, but at the same time, you're sort of like, oh, wow. This chapter does it well enough that you can kind of, as long as you can ignore the fact that Gray's probably not going to die, but you know, there is saying this, oh, he will fall into despair in the face of calamitous power once again. I foresee the disciple choosing the path his master followed. And you're like, oh, geez. Gray, no ice chill. Don't do it.
So, I recall the ice chill thing he tried to do, but he didn't. He did not do that. So.
Yeah, but now, I mean, now he's got a double reason. Namely, his father's body is kind of being used by someone. Mm-hmm. So you can see why he would be quite furious and not thinking straight. So I have to say, bravo. This was quite possibly the best fairy tale chapter in years.
And in a sense, Deliora is like Gray's ultimate enemy.
He is, and that actually manages to bring him back in a way that actually makes sense. And it's absolutely brilliant. I loved it. This was quite possibly one of the best chapters. It's only slightly marred by the fact that I know Mashima isn't going to kill someone off permanently. So, especially not someone that he's already fake killed before.
Go ahead.
Yeah, unless that's kind of his thing. He's like, oh, I fake killed him before, so I'm faking them out again, and I'm actually going to kill him. I was like, wait, what? I am curious to
fake
see.
Fake kill and kill him for sure.
There's
something I want to little mention about the part with the necromancer guy was saying the story of the boy Gray, how the title is pretty much the young boy's story. In the original Raw or something. Mm hmm. The kanji for gray can be written as young.
Okay. So, and also with the story of the boy gray, I guess it could be come to read as, after this, he is no longer a child, basically.
He will become a man, and he's already a man for me.
No, become a man in the traditional way. But nonetheless, in the biblical way. I don't know, I'm very curious to see where this will go, because right now, with this kind of twist being pulled, I'm not about to try and speculate as to what the heck happens. So, I'm looking forward to what happens next.
It's already really good right now.
Yeah, so this was definitely an amazing chapter, and if Mashima actually does pull off the gray dyes, on the one hand, I'll be kind of pissed. On the other hand, I'll be like, well, he actually stuck to it. So, curious. Yeah, well, I mean, in the past, he's never stuck to actually killing someone off. So it's kind of a little, will he actually? Probably not. But, yeah, so that was that chapter. Quite possibly, I would have to say for this week, Fairy Tail was the best chapter out of the lot, easily.
Yeah, it beat One Piece.
Yeah, even though we don't include it in our rankings, just know that this was the chapter we enjoyed the most. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that takes care of that. Let's go ahead and wrap things up. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 104 for the week of June 30th, 2014. This week we reviewed Attack on Titan, volumes 2, 3, and 4. We also went over the chapters for the week, including issue 31 for Weekly Shonen Jump and the most recent Kodansha chapters on Crunchyroll. Mm-hmm. This week, it was a good week. Mm-hmm. I think overall it was good. Almost got all those podcast episodes edited.
I actually consider this to be a great week, personally.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but next week will be better, I feel. But yeah, so. And with all the editing that I've been doing, by the time people hear this, it will only be like a couple, the week after when this, a little bit more than a week after this episode originally came out. So, yeah, I'm getting everything taken care of. For anyone that wants to know what we're reviewing next week, there's a slight change of plan. We were going to be reviewing Volumes 5 and 6 of Attack on Titan, and then next week do Seven Deadly Sins and Ranma 1/2, but I just found out that Barnes & Noble actually has the third omnibus of Ranma 1/2 on sale already. So
that consists of volume
5 and 6.
Okay.
Yep, so I got that along with Nisekoi that came out earlier this week on the 1st. So the change of plans is that we'll be going over Nisekoi and Ranma 1/2 this week, and the next week we'll be talking about Seven Deadly Sins volume 3 and Attack on Titan volumes 5 and 6. So
that's the following week.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, that will be the same week as Seven Deadly Sins Volume 3.
So, we're going to review six volumes after all.
Sorry, did I say next week? I meant the following week, like you said. This coming week is Ranma 1/2 and Nisekoi. The following week after that. I mean, how can we do Seven Deadly Sins this week that's not even out yet?
So, okay.
Yes, so, yeah. Next, Ranma 1/2 and Nisekoi, then Attack on Titan and the Seven Deadly Sins. And, yeah, I think about 3 volumes a week is pretty much the max that we're going to go for now, unless we have a very good reason. Like, say, for example, two single volumes of a certain series come out, and we have another series that we're getting through. But we'll figure that out as it comes along. So, yeah, if anyone wants to follow along with our reading, you can go ahead and pick up Ranma 1/2, Volumes 5 and 6 at Barnes Noble now. It will be out next week on Amazon for some odd reason, but Nisekoi Volume 4 is already out, so you can pick that one up as well and follow along with us as we review them.
Okay.
But for now, yes, that means you, Mo.
Yeah.
But for now, let's see, we have the author comments to talk about.
Yes.
Starting with Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro, my editor changed. Now that I think about it, I only remember drinking with Sugita Kim first off, let's go out drinking.
first off, we drink. Okay.
Yes. And so,
vodka, I mean. Lichi Site Kubo, one of my editors, Hattori, is changing. Thank you so much for everything.
Interesting. Interesting change there. That they're both changing, but...
And the third one.
Okay, One Piece. One Piece is Eiichiro Oda. They're switching out my editors, Isaka and Onishi. Thanks for all the hard work, guys. My new editor is Sugita, and my former editor, Kawashima, is coming back. Okay, so he's getting...
Oh, yes, two editors.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the biggest series in the, you know, in the magazine. But okay, so he's getting Toriko's editor, and he's getting back his previous editor, Kawashima. Interesting.
That was
years ago. I don't think he's working as just an editor anymore.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I wasn't able to see in theaters, but I got the DVD for The Wind Rises. Haven't been able to watch it yet, though. Huh. Naruto's like, oh, editors. Well, I don't want to talk about editors. The other guys already talked about editors already.
Yep. Alright, well, Hunter x Hunter's Yoshihiro Togashi. And number 3 is mending tape, and number 4 is the spatula thing used to attach screen tone.
Okay, think of Togashi as, you know, he was continuing from the first one, or from the previous one. It's like number 1, I think my erasers were missing, number 2 were the rulers, and then a week later, number 3 is the mending tape.
That's what he's
number
talking about.
Number 4 is the spatula thing used to attach screen tone. I'm like, wait, it took you a week to tell us this? You're supposed to find it funny.
Not really. Move on.
Nishiko is Nishikomi. I received flowers for Onodera's birthday. I'm sure she's really happy. Thank you.
Cool. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I had Vava, the winner of the Mad Video Contest, create a promotional video for Volume 6. It's awesome. Cool.
Stealth Symphony's Ryogo Naruto. The flashback in Chapter 16 should have said a few years ago instead of 10 years ago. So sorry. You should be more sorry about your series going downhill.
Yeah, I think the thing was that originally, you know, it started off with poor rankings, and so there's kind of no way to recover from that. So it is definitely rushing the pooch, though. All right, also worth noting, next week we have Blue Exorcist and Seraph of the End coming back.
And if I'm correct, Vertical Dungeon next week should be Attack on Titan.
Yes, I believe so. And Hunter x Hunter is on break and returns on the July 14th issue, which I believe
is
the week after that. So it's just by a week.
It's on hiatus. The world's already ending.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I'm sure it's probably how some of the fans read. They're like, oh, great, it's on hiatus again. Here we go.
Yeah. All right.
Drink up, guys.
Yeah. Well, let's do our rankings, shall we?
Okay.
For this week, oh dear, number 4.
Number 4 is Assassination. Oh, right, it's not even in the week.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's see. I think my number 4 is going to be, I'm going to say World Trigger.
Okay.
Just, yeah, I liked it. I liked the trap, you know, the use of the trap there and everything. It was fun. Let's see, what was your number 4?
Hunter x Hunter.
Okay. Fair enough. That one.
It was a little confusing with the stuff about, you know, Gingo number 2. Like, what's the number 2 thing? I don't even get it. But then the part when they brought Gon, like, okay, look, Gon, the main character, look, the main character is still there, and revealing the prince being really messed up. And I'm like, I hope Kurapika kicks this guy's butt even after he takes the eyes back.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, my number 3 is Toriko.
Okay.
And just because it was fun, and I really like the way they pulled off the whole, oh, look, here's these horses. They are freaking terrifying.
Okay.
So, what's your number 3?
Yeah, it'll be Toriko.
Okay, same reason.
With the horses and the team-ups and the... Mappy being sacrificed thing.
Yeah, good riddance. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like the frog.
Yeah. All right, well, my number 2 is One Piece. It was fun, it was good, but at the same time, not the best. You know?
Okay.
I just, you know, what's your number two?
Lisa Gordon.
Okay, how come?
Well, it was good. I mean, with the shoe bit, I mean, obviously, I was like, oh, yeah, he's definitely hiding something there. And I guess I have to say, okay, Haru's not as bad anymore, but when I saw her, I just flipped my lid for like about 5 seconds. I was like, okay, whatever. She told me 1.5. That's clear that what it is. But it's still a good chapter.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's my number one. It was just really funny, so.
Okay.
You know, more enjoyable than One Piece this week, I think. What was your number one?
One Piece. Because of the cover page of the chapter.
Yeah.
With Jinbei's possible return. That's definitely Jinbei. It can't be anyone else. Unless Oda's like, nope, not Jinbei. It's Clay. What's One Clay doing there? I don't know.
That'd be
awesome, though.
No, but I'm pretty sure we've seen that's Jinbei's ship.
Yes, Jinbei. Yeah, it's underwater, of course.
Well, no, but we've seen it before.
Yeah.
I just don't know where. Yeah, and also just as a heads up,
Fujitora meteor strike, and of course the little bit at the end where Luffy meets Doflamingo. I'm like, wait, those Kelly Funk guys, brothers actually betrayed them.
What a nice twist.
And the Sabo thing.
Yeah. Alright, I have to say that an honorable number five is Naruto this week, because I'm sorry, but that was just, it was just kind of a really funny chapter. And the actual number,
okay.
Yeah, sorry, the actual number one for this week was easily Fairy Tail, even though it's not included in these rankings, because they don't ask for that.
So, yeah, here's my actual rankings of the chapters we commented on, including everything we read. My number four is Assassin's Creed Classroom. My number three is One Piece. My number two is Seven Deadly Sins. And my number one is Fairy Tail.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that wraps things up, doesn't it?
Yep.
We don't have any comments this week, but remember, you can leave comics on Burning Comments, but I'll also accept comics. BurningLizardStudios.com. You can also look us up on Twitter at Burning Lizard and BurningLizardStudios@gmail.com if you want to send us a longer comment via email. We'll read them on the air, and if anyone is listening and has a bone to pick with us, just let us know, and we will discuss your opinion on the air and explain why it's wrong. No,
all
just joking.
All opinions are accepted. It's okay if you don't agree with us, it's fine. That's what we're here for.
Indeed. What? No, we're not. We're here to make people feel bad for their stupid choices. Again, I am joking, of course. But nonetheless.
Oh, also, happy 4th of July.
Oh, yes. Yeah, giving away when we recorded this. Yeah, we will. All right, then. Well, that is that. So we will see you all next week.
I'm saying week of 4th of July. What the heck are you talking about?
Well, fair enough. But giving away that we recorded this on the Friday.
You just gave it away now, for sure.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure they
could
figure it out.
You sunk the boat. There you go. Now I can't swim. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, die, you bastard. Die.
I've half drowned and drowned once. No, wait, that's twice. I drowned 1.5 times. There we go.
Indeed. All right, and also don't ever forget that the manga is always better. See you all next week.
Ciao.